Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
What's happening is the ambient background noise of tyranny is just being incrementally turned up. But now they're turning it up faster and faster. The other classic analogy is you have a pot of cold water. If you put a frog in it, it'll sit there happily, believing it's safe in the water from you walking around the stove. And if you turn the heat up on low, if it slowly heats up, and I've talked to folks in Louisiana, Mississippi that eat frogs, I've actually had frogs' legs, that it's really true. If you put a bullfrog or something else in a pot of water and slowly turn it up, that it will sit there until it dies. And I'm even being conditioned to accept this. I see articles every few days about how they're trying to make elderly and prisoners and government officials and military take microchips, not just in the United States, but all over the world, and I don't even cover them. And the psych warfare chiefs know that. They know that back 10, 12, 13 years ago, when it was just in government documents, we would freak out and say, wow, look, they're planning to do this, and here's how they're going to push it through fads and security and all these other ways, and people would laugh at us. But now that it's just on the news for the last 7, 8 years, constantly, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, and the head of Sega says we'll all be getting chips. You want to play the game, you're going to take a chip. Oh, yeah. You know, I play a bunch of video games where you're augmented with chips. See, they think as they play a video game, that means that it's the same as being augmented with chips. Or we've all seen The Matrix. And now I just look at the news headlines on Infowars.com. Right before I went live, I was looking at them and I was going, they're going to charge us per flush of the toilet with government smart monitors on the toilets. And if you don't think that that's not going to happen, I remember 3 years ago reading about some cities in California making residents take smart thermostats in their house. And then guess what? Tim, who works here in the office, walks up to me and says, hey, this just came in the mail. City of Austin is coming next week to the office to put in remote control thermostats. And it said, you know, smart thermostats on the flyer. And I went and looked it up on the City of Austin. And sure enough, they're going to control the thermostat in my office. And it says, oh, if there's a power shortage or something, they'll just go ahead and, you know, turn things off. And they already admit in Europe and Canada and California, where they've implemented this, that they just, when they feel like it, say, oh, you don't need to have your office 76. We're going to set it at 80. And, oh, you don't get health care, you know, once you're 55. Then you have to go ahead and go blind or die of liver disease or not get that brain surgery. That is in the new bill. Tom Daschle, that authored it, wrote that in a book. I mean, it's not us saying this. They're saying it. A decade ago, they would deny that. Now they just admit it. Total micromanagement, total control over every little facet of our lives, shutting down the farms and ranches, regulating everything. And the examples go on and on and on and on. I'll tell you about all the informative guests we've got coming up after the break. And then we'll get into, is FEMA and DHS preparing for mass graves and martial law near Chicago, from the Daily Newscaster, D.H. Williams. I want to get him on. I know this is a true report because everything in it checks out with what I've already researched. And there's a mass graves comment in here. So we'll go over that. Obama's energy secretary says get ready for the carbon tax. It's in the New York Times. All these years they said there's no plan for a carbon tax, and now it's like, of course we're going to tax everything you do. You're not against Obama, are you? You're not a racist. I mean, come on.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I had that flyer here on my desk we got 2 days ago, and I'm trying to clean my desk off every day. I can't find it. Maybe we can go to one of the next door businesses and ask for theirs, where it told me we're getting the new smart thermostats in the office. And most of the homes in Austin have been getting the flyer telling them this. And it's a remote control. They read it via radio waves remotely, and they control the thermostat in your office or home. So we printed up during the break a January 12th article out of the San Francisco Chronicle. It says, critics cool to smart thermostat proposal. Oh, the critics, they're for it now. Well, here in Texas, they just don't tell you they're going to remote control your thermostat. They just put them in. See, that's how this is done. New thermostats in homes and businesses would be fitted with technology that would allow utilities to change a building's temperature by remote control under a proposal being considered by state energy officials. See, in California, 3 years ago was when they started phasing in these thermostats. They don't ask you. They just say, we're going to come in and wire your air conditioning system, your heating system, into this. Can you believe this? Yet after public outcry by critics worried about Big Brother dictating home temperatures, officials with the California Energy Commission said this week that they will change the proposal regulation so that customers would have the option of blocking outside control of their thermostats. Yeah, right. Sure. Just let us put it in and everything will be all right. The new smart thermostat, supporters said, could help ease summertime power emergencies by allowing officials to limit the use of air conditioning. Now, let's stop right there. Remember 6-7 years ago when they got Schwarzenegger in, they said Governor Gray Davis was involved with Enron running scams. He was a gun grabber. I got behind the recall, and then they baited and switched us and didn't put in a real conservative. They put in Schwarzenegger, the gun-grabbing, open borders, New World Order individual. And the news said that he was fighting Enron. Turned out he was involved in the meetings before he was even governor. And, of course, it was Gray Davis fighting Enron. And it turned out Enron would charge billions and billions of dollars a week in fake charges, claiming the energy just cost that much. And they had fake trading computers and fake trading boards. This came out just ripping people off. Well, and their internal memos came out that, well, if we turn the power off a few hours a day, that'll create the perception that there really is a shortage and people will put up with the tripling of their rates. Tripling. And so now they'll just control, again, the government will control how hot or cold your house is. In Europe, they're banning fireplaces, putting taxes on them, restricting them, banning outdoor gas heaters at restaurants and bars, banning their sale, banning their importation. See, what they tell you what type of light bulb you can have. They tell you what type of toilet you can have. They tell you what type of propellant you can have in your spray bottles. It all sounds reasonable, but then it's setting the precedent for total control. And then they go to the level of, oh, we're going to remote control your car. We're going to remote control your house. We're going to look at all the prescriptions you get instantly with no warrant. It just is all uploaded to the government. And then now they're announcing that if elderly people get Medicare or Medicaid, they want to put in their refrigerators a smart system where they have to scan in. Then it'll all be automated with RFID soon, little tracker chips, everything you're eating and doing, and then scanners will be in the house to make sure that you are eating enough food and that you're taking care of yourself, and that will be remotely monitored by the threat integration centers in the counties. total Big Brother, worse than THX1138, worse than Brave New World, worse than 1984, and it's all just being set up around us. So when you hear Barack Obama talk about we're going to have energy standards and we're going to build the new green economy, it has nothing to do with the environment. It's all to do with total and complete, absolute control and micromanagement. San Francisco Chronicle continues, the special thermostats, which allow utilities to adjust air conditioning in homes and businesses via radio signals, are meant to be used only during emergencies, oh, of course, as a way of avoiding costly and damaging blackouts when California's been caught running scams, cheating people. Chandler said, she noted that several of the state's utilities, including Pacific Gas and Electric Co., already operate similar voluntary programs in some areas. Folks, we all have to start putting in at least supplemental solar to get around these people micromanaging us and controlling us. You know, they put controllers on the boxes in Michigan and other states on how much energy people can use, and people are dying. Poor people are found by the hundreds. I mean, I saw a report last week that hundreds had died, just frozen to death in their beds, frozen to death at the kitchen table, frozen to death around little wood-burning stoves, just freezing to death in America. Commissioner Arthur Rosenfeld, a physicist famed for his energy efficiency discoveries at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, said he supports changing the proposal because of the public concern, because he expects most consumers will agree to grant utilities the authority to control their air conditioners in emergencies. Oh. See, because the old proposal just said, well, you know, you don't need it to be set at 76. At night, we will control it. Open your windows. "99 out of 100 will comply anyway," he said. See, they know that. Adding that such emergencies occur only about once every 10 years. When Enron or some other group's robbing you. Some lawmakers expressed strong misgivings. I want to get somebody on about this because there is no debate about this in Texas. Now, in California and Oregon and New York and Illinois, they just throw the gauntlet down to the slaves and say, this is what we're doing, and you'll comply anyways. You just heard him. But here, they just do it. Now, these are smart, remote-controlled systems. They do come in and jack into your heating and cooling system, and they want to have a bunch of other things be remote control. You know, all the major new cars coming out by 2012, Toyota, Chrysler, GM, they've all announced that they're going to have infrared cameras in the dash standard that's hooked into an internal cell phone, and that if there are pressure, there's pressure sensors in the seats, and that if there's pressure on the seats and the car is above 90-something degrees, I forget the exact temp, I know it was 90-something degrees, that it dials the police department, and then they're watching on the camera. And they said this will save the 30-plus deaths each year of children being left in cars. Well, you're not for 30 children dying, are you? No, but it has nothing to do with that. It's about the cell phone OnStar platforms watching everything you do with a camera. And I told you day one with OnStar, the FBI was using it to dial in and listen to people, and now it's admitted in court cases without warrants. I mean, for heaven's sakes, Google admitted 3 years ago that they're using the onboard microphones that are in all over-the-counter computers and video cameras in most. Apple now is coming out with the screen itself as the camera, not a camera above it, the screen itself. And they also have the patent for the facial recognition through that, where, oh, by law, to make sure it's only an adult getting on the computer or whatever, you'll be face scanned every time you get on the computer. The keyboards are coming out now, most of them with thumb printers on it. Suddenly thumb printers are showing up everywhere, at the gym, at the salon, at the mall, the library, everywhere. I mean, do you see what the cashless society control grid is? Critics cool to smart thermostat proposal. Oh, the critics like it now. Isn't true. But they tell the sheep, oh, listen, other sheep like it. They like the big bad wolf. Let him in. Little piggies. I say not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. You can huff and you can puff and you can try to blow the house down, but if we stand up, it's a house of brick. But people think they're in a house of straw, so they open the door and let him in and don't even put up a fight. Face scanning cameras are up nationwide. They have giant homeland security blimps at 90 to 100,000 feet above every major city, creating biometric scans of your walk, your gait. They know you from above, on record. Then the idiot public sees these huge blimps and thinks they're flying saucers because Larry King tells them so. You can even video of the blimps with the cameras on the bottom, with the rudders, with everything. With everything. I mean, how much of this do I have to put up with, ladies and gentlemen? How much of this do I have to, how much of this do you have to put up with? They are putting a total control grid in place, and they're going to propose first taxing fireplaces and then banning them because they want you under abject slavery, abject domestication, totally institutionalized under their control. Most states are moving to tax or ban new water wells. The animal ID, the premises ID, will shut down every small family farm and ranch in the country. That's on record. You got to put a $22 tag on a chicken you can't sell for $4 wholesale. $1,000 a day fines for every day you don't report a dead cow. And it's not even a law, but they're saying it's the law. I mean, this is just lawless criminality moving at us at every level. And you're not going to hear the liberals talk about it. You're not going to hear Rush Limbaugh talk about it. They're there to keep you in the dark in the false left-right paradigm. Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're here live. Come back Sundays live 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time with a syndicated transmission. See, what's happening is they know we're resisting their entire New World Order operation. The public's getting wise, so the establishment is hitting us with everything at once. And it's not just that all your homes are going to be remote controlled with your thermostat. It's your power system itself they're going to remote control. Not just to switch it off when they want, but to control the temp. They say, when they proposed it, that you don't deserve to turn it down below 76. And then it'll be 80. And then it'll be, you don't need air conditioning. This is neo-feudalism. You know, serfs in England 500 years ago, 600 years ago, they weren't allowed to gather firewood. They weren't allowed to hunt. That's why they called the commoners the little people, because they'd be a foot, foot and a half shorter than the nobility that sat around pigging out and doing whatever they wanted to. And then the nobility wrote books about how they were doing it to control the population. Large portions of the children would end up having brain damage from lack of nutrients. It's the pleasure of the elite to control people. You know, in 1989... in Virginia and Texas and several other states, the federal government tried to do a pilot program where everyone in the town, they did it in small towns first, would accept a box on top of their television set that would remote control the television set itself. And then the cable systems, as they came out, they tried to have federal law where you wouldn't just have FEMA coming over during national emergencies, but you would have the local government through FEMA transmitters and command centers doing it, and the public said, are you kidding? That's Big Brother. They tried to pass a federal law in 89 as well to make all radios and TVs themselves have a receiver to broadcast audio only of an emergency transmission. Now they're proposing that again. And how did they roll it out in 1996? As the Amber Alert. Oh, a little girl got kidnapped. We need to put up billboards electronic that the government controls with federal money that are supposedly state that put up announcements for kidnapped children. You're for saving kidnapped children, aren't you? And then now I drive down 290 in Austin and it says, report illegal guns, report terrorism. And we're looking for an elderly person driving a black Monte Carlo who came up missing in Plano, Texas. So, oh, you're not for finding the old people? But see, they mix it in. Oh, the Marines are out helping run checkpoints to catch DWI drivers. They're helping local police in San Bernardino and other areas of the country. I mean, you're not for drunk drivers, are you? Oh, the Army's announced 20,000 troops to deal with civil insurrection, but they're also going to help at car wrecks with the jaws of life. I mean, you're not against getting people out of cars that have been wrecked. I mean, see how sick the psychology is? And it's all happening. Everything in your home will be remote controlled by the government. Your computers already are, folks, if they're on cable modems or hooked up to the web. It's all designed. Google admits they dial in and have an AI computer system because they said, don't worry, a human's not listening. A computer listens and creates a transcript of all audible words and even what you're watching on television or listening to on the radio to build a psychological algorithm profile on you to then tailor Google ads for your screen and to sell it to marketers. I mean, what's wrong with that? And it's the outrageousness. It's the over-the-topness of just announcing it 3 years ago like it was no big deal. Oh, the camera will also watch you. And it said, it doesn't just recognize human words in the TV and the radio in the background and you and your wife. If you have a dog barking, you will have dog food ads and dog toy ads and dog healthcare need ads. Google announced this themselves, and people don't believe me when we link to the articles. That's Big Brother. They'll never control my thermostat by remote control. They'll never control my car by remote control. They'll never control my TV by remote control. They'll never control my computer. Alex, that's ridiculous. TiVo doesn't track what I watch, and then they come out and admit they do. This is Big Brother. This is what the computers are doing. We're being enfolded, sucked into the matrix right now. But computers are double-edged. They're inanimate objects just like a gun. They can be used for good or evil. You need to use them for good right now. But in the balance, the architecture they're building with the computers is an evil architecture designed to carry out total human oppression. Now, I just went over some of the latest control grid going into place, including right here in my office, remote-controlled sensors. We all get busy, but I've got to... In fact, guys, go get Tim in here for me right now. On air, I'm going to tell Tim, we're refusing this. And get him to try to find the flyer. It was in here on my desk. A nice little pretty thing going, oh, you're getting this great new system. We're going to remote control. I'm telling the city of Austin, we're not taking their remote control system in here. We're not their slaves. And even though I'm working around the clock, we're going to go ahead and fight this ourselves. See, I'm not having to wait to have this come and affect me. It's happening. I remember early last year, at the time, had 14 employees and some contractors, and I got my Texas Workforce Commission forms we have to fill out. We try to do everything by the, quote, system, you know, to keep our nose clean here. And it said, yeah, you've now got your new North American Union, North American ID that you file. You no longer file this state form through us with the state. You file it with the federal government in the North American country code. I mean, it's right there. I remember Jerome Corsi writing articles about it, and like a week later, I get it in the mail. This is all happening. And we have to say no to this, and we have to go to the city councils, and we have to say, what do you think you're doing? I mean, now the Austin police chief is announcing with six other chiefs in Texas, all the biggest chiefs, the biggest cities, that they want to have anybody who's arrested for a misdemeanor have your blood taken for a DNA database. That's how it started in England. Then it was everybody who gets even stopped. They're doing this, ladies and gentlemen. This is happening. Big Brother is running wild right now. You don't have to wait for the New World Order to fight. It's here. And it's not done through law. They just do it. I mean, Texans don't know that, oh, they're here to put a new system in. We need to come in your house. See, before, the power just ran into the house, and they had the power box out there. Now it's, we'll be in your home or business putting in a new system, wiring it in to your appliances. And it's going to control your thermostat. Now, that said, the news I'm about to cover is so hardcore that if I just come on the air and just cover it, it doesn't give it the respect and the importance due it. So I'm going to wait 5 minutes to cover this, and I want you to call everybody you know. You got 5 minutes. Your neighbors, your friends, your family listening on AM or FM, tell people at red lights, run into grocery stores and tell them, businesses, call your local police department, tell them to tune in. It'll re-air throughout the week until we're back live on Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. This is important, what's coming up, because I know this report's accurate because we've already documented every section of this. Is FEMA and DHS preparing for mass graves and martial law near Chicago? The answer is they're doing it everywhere. This is out of the Daily Newscaster. D.H. Williams, great report. We're going to play some of the audio. Now, that is coming up in T-minus 5 minutes. Then we have Bob Chapman joining us in 25 minutes. Representative Dan Idas, is it? Representative Ingbertson and George Humphrey in studio. We got two New Hampshire reps coming on dealing with right to revolt and saying no to the globalists and the feds and martial law. And there's no more excuses to sit on the couch or sit on the fence. It is now openly announced that foreign banks are taking over the United States. They're building FEMA camps that we're going into martial law. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting reports from inside sources everywhere. Sitting out the window from me in the control room, one of my trusted crew members, mothers, is a nurse at Seton. And they were called into a meeting and they were told that everybody that comes in to Seton must be given a flu shot or a pneumonia shot. That's the way it was phrased. And then they added the caveat. This is how they mind control their own people. That it's offered, but that they must give it or they get in trouble. Whatever that doublethink means. And that when people, and this is the kicker, when they are incapacitated and can't refuse, they are to be given the injection. Now, that's how it works with the schools and businesses. They say, oh, yeah, we have a requirement you take hepatitis and all these shots every year to work here, or that you take all these, you know, it was 10 shots, now it's almost 60 shots they try to claim you have to take for school. And they phrase it like, gotta have shots to be in school. And if you know to refuse, they might pull out the waiver form. But there's no law, so why is there a waiver for something that's not a law? See, it's all... it's just like animal ID, premises ID. Only two states passed laws saying you had to do it. One of them was shamefully Texas. The feds just said it was guidelines. But then the state had to back off and say, okay, it's not really the law. It's unconstitutional. But if you're in a 4-H club or in the county fair, you bring your pig, you bring your chickens, you bring your goats, you bring your cow, your yearling to show it. And they did this all over the country, in Missouri and Texas and the Dakotas. I've seen it everywhere. It's done as a stunt. They pick out whoever the winner is so that it's done in front of everyone. This is how evil government is. And when you win second or first place, they let you in, but their regulations say to be part of the private group, you've got to be have your premises registered with the federal government, waiving all your rights through contract fraud, don't even own your property, basically, and your animal ID agreement signed. See, it's corporate fraud. You they're tricking you to sign on. And as soon as they win, and we've seen in every case, they're either second or first place, and there's a huge crowd there of hundreds or thousands to see it, they then have the police come in and they announce, sorry, she or he did not fill out their forms, and they say, escort this young lady from the building. And the officers grab them by the arm. This has been in major newspapers. And the young woman cries, or the young man gets upset, and they take them off and throw them off the property. There's no law. It's humiliation. It's peer pressure. It's shunning. And then everybody runs out and they say, well, we better register our property. We better do this. But it's not registration. It's waiving your rights, shining your land over to the federal government. I mean, the government is completely evil and completely corrupt and work for foreign banks, taking over everything. They're robbing and looting, and they're tricking everyone into signing documents, waiving their rights so they can take your property. Ladies and gentlemen, they're now all over the nation going after roadside stands selling firewood and watermelons and tomatoes and squash and cucumbers. They're sending tax people after them. They're sending SWAT teams after them. People selling eggs out of their house. They want control. Do you read me? Now, I'm going to get into this report. And I want to be clear about this. FEMA was set up in 1979, and it is an arm of the National Security Council. The National Security Council itself has now declared total control over all federal agencies and Homeland Security and states under PDD 51 that the states have no rights and no authority, and neither does Congress, when Congress is co-equal with the presidency. In fact, the founders said it had more power over the president. It decides when to go to war. The president executes it. So they're openly saying the Congress runs nothing now. And when they wouldn't pass the bailout, they threatened them with physical martial law. They have built threat integration centers in rural areas. They'll do it in 3 to 5 county areas. In major cities, they'll put it right in the middle of the city. They give free buildings, free housing, massive federal grants. I mean, they gave Boston $2 billion in grants for face scanning cameras. Hired tens of thousands of police officers. And so the cities roll over, do it. They're basically federalized. They can dial in to not the cameras you see, the big ones on the highways, but all the little ones, the face scanners. They can type in your name, pull up your cell phone in live time, hit another button, dial into your phone and listen to you. This is mainstream news now. This is being done. First time they admitted it was Wisconsin, the Wisconsin governor said, oh, it's real great. We just dial in and listen to your cell phone if you're in trouble. The feds gave us this new system. So it's totally federalizing everything. They tried 5 years ago to order 14,000 first responders, police, firemen, nurses, doctors, medical workers, county, city officials to take smallpox and anthrax shots. Only 4,000 officers took it under orders. Over 100 died. That's the LA Times. Oh, yes, caused some type of inflammation in the heart. They had heart attacks, mainly men, 45-year-old and older cops. Killed them, dead in a hammer. Was that NBC reporter took one in Iraq and fell over dead of a heart attack. Causes inflammation in the... So the police said, I'm not doing it. So now they've publicly created... this, and again, this is all in pieces, all admitted. And you just put it all together. That they have recruited millions of firemen and police and other, quote, workers to get a federal stipend payment. And they've done drills with buses right here in Austin, Texas, but all over the country, to go around forcibly and to inject you with vaccines during an emergency. Under foot and mouth release, which the British released on purpose in 2000 as a test, that they admit they released it from a level 4 bioweapons lab and say it was an accident. The U.S. has adopted that rule. It's been in the Minneapolis-St. Paul paper, I know that, and others. We covered it big time at the time. That the Army will lock everything down and kill all your livestock. It has nothing to do with they're even contaminated. A few hundred cows had it in a few areas. It suddenly popped up in one day in every corner of England. Impossible. It spread it. They admit they released it. Then they killed 4 million, or was it 6 million cows and 8 million sheep, and then wouldn't let them restock their cows and sheep for control to shut down the farms. Trying to break the back of rural communities. This is Pentagon warfare. Pentagon warfare. Their job under NORTHCOM is dominating, getting control. That's why they tore up most of the fields and the date palms and in Iraq, claiming insurgents were hiding in the woods, hiding in the bushes, all over the Tigris Euphrates. And they only let them plant GMO crops. It's all about control. As the UN says, using food as a weapon. And I remember the Rocky Mountain News in 2002, the governor was in there saying, yes, we have a giant incinerator that can incinerate thousands of bodies an hour, ready for the Al-Qaeda bio attack. No, it's going to be a globalist bio attack that will be small at first to train everybody to give up their rights and have troops on the streets and, oh, see, it worked out okay for those that said it would be a problem. Then the next one will be the big one. You understand how that works? Well, this is up on Infowars.com right now. Is FEMA and DHS preparing for mass graves and martial law near Chicago? An Indiana County municipal official in the vicinity of Chicago, under anonymity for his safety, but I hear this from all the time, reveals the contents of his meetings with FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security. The initial requests seem reasonable enough when FEMA asked the county officials to prepare a hazard mitigation plan. They say under law they have to. That's federalization. To deal with flooding, fires, high winds, and tornadoes. But as the requirement meetings and calls for FEMA and DHS continued over a two-year period, the request became so unusual, raising suspicions of county officials. And they asked him, do you have a place for mass graves? Now, see, remember 8 years ago when they had fires out west and they said, oh, the Army's helping, regular Army. Oh, and some Mexican and Canadian troops are helping. And then last year they signed deals to use Mexican and Canadian troops to, quote, engage the American people during insurrection. That's mainstream news. It was mainly in Canadian and Mexican papers. See, oh, you're not against the troops fighting fires, are you? You're not against Mexican troops giving soup out in New Orleans, are you? Huge convoys coming across the border flying Mexican flags. You're not against Norwegian AWACS helping after 9/11 over the U.S., are you? See the PSYOP? During the legally mandated meetings held with FEMA and the DHS, different disaster scenarios were revealed to county officials. In late December 2008, municipal officers were invited to Indianapolis for a briefing on the state of Indiana. They were told if industry were to collapse, for example, GM going bankrupt, resulting in mass unemployment, a depression would soon follow. Municipalities could expect to lose 40% of their funds. So the feds are going to be there with fiat money. Of course, this is all designed. Every county in the... See how they built all this up to this point now? Oh, we got to have a World Bank run everything now, Time Magazine says, and it'll knock the heads of the American people. Just fix things. Every county in the nation would be required to prepare a hazard mitigation plan, a federalization plan. The county should prepare a plan to vaccinate the entire population within 48 hours and participate and practice the plan several times. FEMA inquired to where mass graves could be placed in the county and would they expect bodies from elsewhere. The Sheriff's Department, via the State Sheriff's Association, was told that no .223 ammunition rounds would be available as the military would be purchasing all stocks. That just means buying it up for five times what it's worth just so you can't have it. They're already doing that. The county was asked to make plans for hardening of police and fire stations, putting in hardened bunker-type buildings around town in case of kamikaze attack. They mean the people. They're building bunkers everywhere, folks. So the bankers can totally bring us into receivership and then reorganization and then Soviet extermination. The county was asked to make plans for the possibility of up to 400,000 refugees from Chicago. Now, we have the audio of this. We're going to play it when we come back from break. But if any of you are in la-la land denying this, in 98 and 99 and 2000, I videotaped, and my listeners videotaped, Marines and Army nationwide training to take over your counties and cities and training to execute Americans. It's on video. And people at the time couldn't believe it. And they said, Alex had fake Marines and fake Army. Yes, I had fake hovercraft and the Coronado landing in Oakland and Cobra helicopters and Chinooks and thousands of troops and foreign troops. I forgot that part. All on video. Sure, I did. Well, now it's all admitted. But you will see them training to take your guns, training to break you and your family up. Now they've introduced the bills and built the camps, and it's all admitted. They're just putting a spin on it that's good. But the point is, you want to see what they're going to try. And then we have them not just doing drills, but doing quasi-drills where they would practice taking over cities like Swansboro, North Carolina. And actually, or is that Alabama? I've got so many videos. It's in police state to the takeover. Searching people's cars for real. People said, oh, no, that's not real, Alex. That footage of Marines running checkpoint searching cars. Oh, really? Now it's just in mainstream news Marines are doing it. Now it's in a bunch of California newspapers, and they say it's good. And the California Chips put out a press release saying they're doing it. See, it's dog training. It's all acclimation for you and your family. Now, the military, the police, you have no future. The bankers are going to ruin you as well. They don't care about you. They're going to use you as their battering ram, their kamikaze against the people. If we scream bloody murder and let the globalists know we're aware of their plan, they'll back off. They tried this 5-6 years ago. So we can stop this together, but you better bust your butts. Oh, they're doing bad, bad things. Very bad things.
They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing.
And now they know there's no going back.
They did a bad, bad thing.
They're going for broke.
They did a bad, bad thing.
And we're stuck in the middle.
You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was going to break in two? I didn't think so. You ever try with all your heart and soul to get your lover back to you? I wanna hope so. You ever pray with all your heart and soul just to watch her walk away?
Maybe it's a bad, bad thing.
We are back live.
Maybe it's a bad, bad thing.
Okay, let's go ahead and go to D.H. Williams interviewing a unnamed Indiana official right across from Chicago. But we have this all separately confirmed, each piece of this from other admissions. That's why when I read this, I know this is part of the official plan. This official is just scared to speak out publicly about what they're being trained with behind closed doors. I happen to have things like Kansas City police firemen and sheriff's deputies being taught the founding fathers are bad, gun owners are bad, it's en route to tyranny, and that they're terrorists. So we know what they're training to do, and this is documented. Here it is.
Things going on here in Indiana that I'm sure people are generally unaware of. And I have some contacts, I had made a contact with Superfaith to talk with him a little bit, but I'm not sure what happened. I think he had an ice storm down there, and I don't know if he's out of it for a while or not.
He's disappeared. No one knows what. I think he's just focusing on the family right now, but you wrote a lot of things in your email. Why don't you just go through them one at a time and break it down for us? What do you see? What's going on?
About a year and a half to 2 years ago, we started being contacted by FEMA saying, you've got to put some plans together. The first plans had to do with, the reason was avian flu. Now, you know, I don't know. My brother's a doctor, and a couple hundred people around the world have died from bird flu. And not really a serious threat right now, unless they know something that we don't. But the point is, we were to put together a plan to vaccinate every person in the county within 48 hours.
You're kidding me. Wow.
And then that plan has to be practiced two or three times. I mean, literally, we've gotten every police officer we can, and buses, and volunteers, and set it up. And, you know, logistically, it's just really not possible to do. I mean, we've run through this thing 100 times and in our heads and several times dry runs. It's just not logistically possible. But the point is, they want to be able to vaccinate people very fast. For some reason, it might be bird flu, but my brother's saying that, you know, bird flu really, you know,
stop right there. We're going to come back and play the rest and get Bob Chapman on. This is the cover for federalization and forced inoculation. That's what the pastors and the clergy response teams, and we have the secret documents that we posted a year and a half before it became mainstream news from the pastors. And it's go to the FEMA camps, take the forced inoculations, turn your guns in. Don't get upset when some people are being arrested and taken away. But again, they're going to do this. They're going to have a biological event, whether they claim it was naturally occurring or some terrorist did it, and then only round up a few hundred thousand in a few county areas somewhere, have a beta test, have the Army out, show it on the news, get everybody scared, they'll fix it, and then people will say, oh my gosh, you know, martial law's good, it saved us. Then they'll have another attack that's bigger. It'll kill hundreds of thousands. Then they'll have martial law, it'll get fixed. Then a few years later, they'll release the big one, and they'll kill probably half the population of the United States. So see, that's why I'm fighting so hard. Even if they kill me, what's the point? I'm just going to die down the road. And anyways.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security are preparing mass graves for martial law near Chicago. They're doing it nationwide. Admittedly, this is a scared Indiana County emergency head right on the border. Let's finish up with the audio. This is from D.H. Williams, the Daily Newscaster, and this is documented. Here we go.
It might be bird flu, but my brother's saying that, you know, bird flu really, you know, is an event right now, unless they know something we don't know. Then the Sheriff's Department started getting long questionnaires. I got one myself. I didn't fill it out, but, and lots of questions at the, you know, what kind of resources do we have? What kind of, how many officers? What can we handle? What are you going to do if Chicago has an emergency and you have 400,000 people heading in your county? Where can you put mass graves? We need to know spaces and mass graves. Can you? How many can you handle? Can you handle bodies from surrounding counties and those types of things? And we're going, what the heck? Are you guys talking about? You know, tell us what's going on. Oh, nothing. Nothing's going on. We're just contingency plans. If something ever happened, you know, we just really need to know how to handle things. And then I was contacted by Homeland Security through our, what they've got, what we have to do is have what is called a hazard mitigation plan. All right, well, that sounds good. And what they're saying is FEMA is saying that disasters are costing them too much money, so we've got to have a plan to mitigate the damage from disasters.
Stop right there. See, that's federalization of the counties. They're saying under law, you've got to take our orders and carry out these plans. And this is mainly to find out what counties and cities will go along with the system or what people are wise to it. That's what the military's been doing for decades with these urban warfare drills, is finding out who's aware, who isn't, who they can work with, who they can't, who they can pay off, who they can't. This is how they take over third world nations. They're just taking their time doing it here. Back to the tape.
Happens. And I understand you've got New Orleans, you've got fires in California, and you've got tornadoes in Oklahoma, and you have those things going on. But we're looking at them going, you know, look, we're in the middle of a cornfield. What kind of disasters are we talking about? Oh, earthquakes and, you know, fires and flooding and tornadoes. And okay, well, what is this? What are the real chances of those things happening to us? Oh, it's very rare, but still, we want to have mitigation plans. What kind of stuff do you talk about? I just had my last meeting today with them, in fact. And, you know, they're literally telling me that they want to harden our fire stations. All right, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know how when a 747 hits, here's what he said today, when a 747 hits a nuclear reactor and just slides off of it, that kind of hardening we're talking about.
What the heck? Oh my God.
Well, first off, you know, I mean, for what reason? You know, if a 747 lands in the middle of town, it's going to wipe out the whole town. Forget the fire department.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, you know, that's just an example. Well, you know, hardened against water, what do you think is going to happen? Well, we think this may be high wind. Well, those are two different things you're talking about there. You know, what is going on? And, you know, they're just, so we've had to put together, and I went to the first two meetings. There's six mandatory meetings. That was the first two, and I said, this is a waste of time. You know, if you don't government. So we set up this meeting today and had this final meeting. But when we first got there, they laid this map out. It's like 10 feet by 5 feet of the whole county. And he said, we want to know every important thing in this county.
Stay there. We're going to come back with Bob Chapman. This has got about 30 seconds left. We'll tell you what's really going on here. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, finishing up with this clip of an emergency management official in Indiana. They spread out this big map of the county, and then it's totally detailed, and they want to, quote, be told everything by the county officials. Of course, they already know everything. They have federal maps of that they've quietly gotten. This is to practice having them follow orders. They say it's a required meeting, you got to come to it. And there's meeting after meeting after meeting, and then always there'll be more meetings. And they're really identifying who they can work with. Remember, FEMA went in and cut the communication lines, jammed the police cell phone system, cut their radio system in New Orleans, and blocked aid from coming in, and then sent in the military to confiscate guns from the high and dry area. And then they admitted it was all a laboratory test. Then by claiming FEMA screwed up, they then got even more funding and power. Let's finish up the clip and then go to Bob Chapman.
So we set up this meeting today and had this final meeting. But when we first got there, they laid this map out. It's like 10 feet by 5 feet of the whole county. And they said, we want to know every important thing in this county. We want to know where police departments are, where weapons are stored, hazardous material, where can we land a helicopter, where are the airports, how big of a plane can you land in those airports, where are all the bridges, where are all the power stations, where are all the generating stations, where are all the substations. I mean, they literally want to know everything. I'm sitting there thinking of this, as, you know, and I'm thinking, man, if there was ever a martial law, this kind of information is exactly the kind of stuff they're going to want, because they'll, I mean, we're just laying it all out for them right there.
Okay, there you have it. Bob Chapman, I've reverse engineered this article. It's also from a good source, and we already have confirmed every sub-piece of it. This is nationwide, including rural areas. We know they've been building this for decades, but it appears they're bringing it to a head, and they think the financial collapse is what's going to help them carry it out. That combined with some type of bioweapon release. Do you think there's any way to stop the globalists from doing this, or do they smell blood and they're just going for broke to destroy the country?
Well, first of all, you'd be commended for putting this kind of information out. There's very few entities that would even attempt it, and it's something the American people have to know. This will be on InfoWars, won't it?
Yes, it's there now.
It is, and because I want to carry that, so make sure that I get it by email. And it's hard to say what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. Yes, they could use the financial collapse, the chaos that follows, as an excuse to implement martial law. Those who disagreed obviously would be somehow subdued. I don't think that's going to be easy for them. A lot of law enforcement people will balk, not all of them. And at the same time, I think the attitude of the military is, if we don't get shot at, we're not going to shoot anybody. And so the timing is very, very difficult. I mean, something like this could happen next week, or it could happen 2.5 years from now. But what we have to do is hope it takes time for them to do that, so that we can get the word out to everybody that this is what they're up to, and get these people out there climbing all over their congressmen saying, why are these people doing this? Why do they need to find out the best place to bury 400,000 bodies?
Well, they have all the FEMA coffins stored in Colorado and Georgia and Texas and New York and California. And, I mean, they admit, I have the mainstream articles where they say they've got mass graves ready and incinerators and coffins. And then we go show the video of the coffins and people go, that's not real. Sure, it's a company that makes plastic coffins and there's a million of them out there. But so what? They need the coffins. And Now the public's saying, well, they just now are announcing martial law may be needed because of the financial crisis. Bob, you worked in military intelligence before you became a successful stockbroker and then gold and silver dealer and then one of the most publicized financial writers in the world, biggest newsletter in the world, until you retired and then came back. For anybody who studied history, this is a classic creeping death takeover. This is the German Operation Valkyrie that Hitler set up to take over Germany. And that they tried to reverse on him with, of course, what happened with the film Valkyrie. It's based on the true story. But, there's no doubt this is going on. The Army now admits they're preparing for it. You've got these poor compartmentalized county officials who are just now, the light bulb's going off because the buzz is going on out there. The good news is we do now have 25 states. It was 21 2 days ago. Now it's 25 states moving who have passed or are passing legislation reaffirming the 10th Amendment states' rights, and in the bills it says no martial law, no gun confiscation. They're telling the state police and counties and others you will not break the law and follow the New World Order. But then the state police are coming into the state houses and fighting them because they're really federal in Oklahoma and other places. We're having the state reps on. We are confirming this, Bob. This is really happening. But again, the deus ex here is the states. That is the cavalry, and I agree with you. Everyone has to go crazy with these documents, with the Army bills, have the facts, go before your city council, bring two or three of your friends to give their time to you so you have time. Get up there and say, this is happening. We know you're in consultation with them. Say no. The globalists will not implode the economy fully unless they think they can get away with this.
You're absolutely right. And your reference to Operation Valkyrie is a correct one. It's a slow-moving program that is encompassing the entire nation, and very few people know about it. And as you say, a lot of people will say, many people will say, well, what can we do about it, or I don't believe you. But, Alex, all we can do is what we can do, and that is get the information out and try to get people to become active in going to their legislatures and telling them, look, we got to pass this sovereignty issue, and we also have to stop the federal government from ordering our people around in our state to try to make them do that.
Well, Bob, I have to, every 5 minutes now, restrain my instinct, my survival instinct, because I have small children, to get out of the country. I understand that I'm a marked man. I understand that there's nowhere to run, that it's a global order, but I have to restrain my instinct. You, of course, left the United States years ago seeing this, but you're grown up, your children are adults. But I guess that's why I've expanded our operation while we're even upping the game, because that way, I'm just committed. I'm going to the bitter end. The nightmare could all end if the dumbass, and I'm sorry to use that term, but that's what it is, if the dumbass public would just wake up, man. It's so horrible, Bob.
It's my 50th year in this. Believe me, I believe you. I've been there. And incidentally, if you want to hide your kids, I'll hide them for you.
Oh, it's not even that. I know there's, you know what, I put it all in God's hands. It's just that primitive instinct, Bob, is just constantly get out of here, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. And I see the elite all leaving.
We talked about this 5 years ago, Alex.
Yeah.
All we can do is what we can do. We'll just keep on trying and trying and trying. And maybe we'll be successful. But we need the listeners' help. They've got to do something. Every one of you people out there must know somebody who's in state government. Take the time. Call, email, go to the state house. Do something, please.
Yeah, you've got to put on a suit, and you've got to go to that neighbor that's a state rep. You've got to be professional and lay out all the bills, the documents. And it's just so real, Bob. And it's not just a regular banana republic, corrupt El Jefe general running things, and they kind of leave you alone. This is the hardcore New World Order. These are the guys that when they gut a country, they kill half the population.
That's right. And after that, they say, these are the people who are going to be allowed to go to school. These are the people who are going to be accountants, and these are people who are going to be doctors and so on and so forth, and they're going to tell you how you can breed if you can at all, And they will tell you where you're going to live, where you're going to work. You'll have to have a passport to move from one town to another. And that expression, let me see your papers, will be very, very common. And it's going to be horrible. And they laid it out years ago. I had this conversation in 1964. And now that this is it, they're ready to act. They're looking for the right moment.
And there's all these good old boys that think they're part of the system. They don't understand. In a tyranny, the majority of the public get looted, including all of the little minions.
Either do what you're told or you're liquidated, along with your family.
Yeah, let me explain this to you. Police, military, FBI, others. Who do you think the thugs running this are going to know? They're going to know you. Who do you have scores with? Who didn't like you at Quantico going to school? Or who didn't like you in police academy? Or who didn't like you in... I heard the governor of Alabama, who they've had to release now, they shut up, and it's now come out in testimony federally, that Karl Rove just didn't like him because he'd said something rude to him decades ago, so they just had him arrested. I mean, if they can do that to a governor, Siegel, they've now released him. He did have like some 7-year federal sentence. They dieseled him for months. I mean, the point is that most of you that serve the system, they're going to put you in prison and kill you because they know you know the crimes they've committed. Bob, you want to explain that to them?
Well, I think that you become part of the system. We've used you, and now we need to get rid of you because you know too much. I think it's as simple as that. And don't forget, the law is what they say it is. Just like when I tell the people at the state, look, these are federal mandated meetings and you've got to come, whether you like it or not.
Speaking of Valkyrie, here comes Flight of the Valkyries. All right,
napalm
Bob, stay.
Napalm in the morning.
Yeah. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory. Stay there, Bob Chapman. Let's get into the economy when we get back. I'm going down with the ship, folks. Stay with us. You know, I go back to the Alamo. They knew the enemy was coming. When they got there, they knew they were outnumbered 10 to 1. They sent out riders for help. The help didn't get there on time. And we're here. We've been right all along. We've had the information, the sources. We understand what's going on. It's horrible beyond imagination. And we're here right now saying to all of you, you better scream bloody murder. You better have your facts straight. You better get out there. And then the globalists will back off and may even ease off on the economy. But if they think you're going to go along with martial law through an implosion where they get to reorganize everything and control it, they're going to go for broke. And so, because I do love this country and I do love humanity, I'm committed to this. You know, we joke around, we have fun here, but sometimes I think I shouldn't even do that because it kind of downplays the seriousness of it all. But at the same time, I'd go crazy if I didn't put a nice face on it sometimes. It's so real. It's so historical. It's so concrete, Bob Chapman. And I just don't know what else to say.
Well, I think we said as much as we can. People have to go to InfoWars and get the information, and it will be there, won't it, Alex?
Yes, we have the article of FEMA and DHS preparing mass graves and martial law near Chicago. And then under it, we have links to previous articles. FEMA, it's not about food, it's about martial law. It's not about floods, it's about martial law. FEMA sources confirm coming martial law. FEMA sources confirm martial law. FEMA starts PR campaign with new YouTube channel. Governor proposes martial law. FEMA trains to take you to the camps. FEMA accused of twisting science and report on trailer damage. Dark Knight movie reflects real martial law in Chicago. Internment camps readied for mass illegal alien influx. U.S. military preparing for domestic disturbances. FEMA preparing for collapse of Mexico, CIA preparing public for, I mean, it goes on and on. and all the bills, all of it, all the people didn't believe us when we had the preacher documents. They were being preparing their flocks for martial law. And then now it's mainstream news, Bob.
That's right. And but, you know, you're on the cutting edge. Well, we both are, but you more so than myself. And we've just got to keep on doing what we're doing. And we've got to get the people out there as best we can to act upon the information, which is bona fide and truthful, and see what we can do with it. I mean, I'm astounded that we have 26 states declaring a sovereignty issue. I mean, if you'd asked me a week ago or 6 months or a year ago if that was possible, I would have said, I don't really think so. And look what's happened. What was the catalyst for that, Alex?
We have educated the patriots. So many people and so many constituents have warned their state reps over and over again that now I have them on. They go, we didn't believe this till we looked at it, and it's all true. You're right. It's martial law, FEMA camps. I mean, some of these guys are former Army officers who have degrees in history. They know as much as I do when we get them on air. I mean, they know everything. And so it looks like folks have actually been doing their job. And the states have found out under PDD 51 and John Warner Defense Authorization Act that they are to be removed. They've learned that Congress has now been removed and is now ceremonial. And so it's exciting. But at the same time, this is only introduced in most of these states. We need to have it passed in all of them and then act upon it. But it just shows that that's what's so frustrating. If we stand up and fight in the info war, if we spread the word and say no, nothing can stop us. But its inaction ensures the enemy's victory. And, I mean, this is a war, ladies and gentlemen. This is life and death. We have the enemy coming against us, and there's those of us standing against it. And we are deciding to put ourselves in the way of the greatest crime syndicate on earth. Because we know that you can't kneel to it, Bob.
There is no way to kneel to it. They will destroy you. They're evil, evil people. And you can't make deals with them. And if you're going to get killed in the process, that's just the way it's going to be. You can't submit to these people. Because submission is death, one way or the other. So you may as well go down fighting.
Well, I hope a lot of folks don't just say, okay, well, when they come for me, I'll get them. No, ladies and gentlemen, you need to educate them now. Because I'm talking to a lot of police and a lot of military, and there is a buzz there as well, Bob. We got to push it over the edge. I think the enemy may have overplayed their hand. I think this could bring them down, Bob.
I think you're right, but we've got to get it to enough people, the public, but also, as you say, law enforcement. And we got to make them understand what these people are up to.
All right, let's get into the economy when we come back, Bob. Bob Chapman, theinternationalforecaster.com. Just some days it just really hits me how real it is. I mean, I know it's real, but just when it consciously and subconsciously in your heart, your gut, your soul hits you. They built death camps for our families.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around?
Just thank God we've got people that are willing to fight. Thank God there's hundreds of millions of guns and tens of millions of people that are ready to fight. That may be the only thing that saves us if the enemy goes to red level and moves. If they keep the low intensity creeping going, we're going to defeat them as well.
Some are born and some are dying.
We've got everything good in our lives we have is because people sacrificed before us. And we owe it to future generations to do whatever it takes to defeat tyranny. We got George Humphrey in studio in the last hour. Got two state reps from New Hampshire fighting the New World Order takeover coming up next hour. I'm going to go back to Bob Chapman, internationalforecaster.com, in a moment. As we continue to fund our operation and spread the info, don't forget the Obama deception ships March 15th, and the orders will be shipped out in the order they came in. Those that pre-order will be the first to get it. You can go to theobamadeception.net or link through on the big banner at Infowars.com. You'll also be able to watch the film March 15th in high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. And the New World Order is betting everything they've got on Obama as the new front man to continue the agenda. By exposing him, and if this film goes viral, look what the Clinton Chronicles did to Clinton. And this is much more hardcore than that. By exposing that he's a puppet and a New World Order shill and a liar, this film is powerful. It's almost done. Then I got to get mass produced and out to you. By doing this, this is just one salvo. You're out there with your own salvos, but just pre-order the Obama deception today, ladies and gentlemen, at Infowars.com or call 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. One other sponsor I wanted to tell you about isn't even really a sponsor at all. It's just super exciting what they're doing. And I believe in what they're doing. It's the best little AM unit we found. When you hook it up right, it goes 3 miles. Then you put signs up everywhere in that 3 mile area. And in high density areas, you can get tens of thousands listing. In other areas, hundreds. And these are legal. This is a legal AM system, and it goes up to 3 miles when you hook it up right. They've got all the know-how, all the documentation. And I happen to know what these cost them because they're hooked into the manufacturer. They're not even really making any money on this. So I hope you'll check it out. It's trutham.com, trutham.com. There's a banner on the right-hand side halfway down on Infowars.com as well. Here is a new way to fight the New World Order. Imagine having this radio show. You can stream it off the web and other shows on 24/7 on an AM dial to help get the word out about the New World Order and the military-industrial complex. Upper AM frequencies have plenty of open stations. You can broadcast with the Rangemaster AM certified transmitter. It's the only FCC certified transmitter which one can operate at full power with maximum modulation reaching further with the highest fidelity. These transmitters can be stacked or synchronized together, allowing for multiple units in one location across several locations near or distant. They also are completely adjustable and use only the highest quality parts. And Chez Kane is available full-time to help you with your operation. They're great folks. Give them a call, 800-579-0580, 800-579-0580, or trutham.com. And listen, you need micro AMs. In the crisis we're in, go for it. And micro FMs. Have internet programming on them, the truth, do your own shows, and then have the listeners first before the globalists try this, and this may stop it in your town. I'd like to see them try it, say, in Fredericksburg, Texas, where we've been on for, I think, like 10, 11 years straight. I mean, good luck. Or even Austin, Texas. That's why I got the police chief saddling up next to me wanting to be friends and go to dinner. Yeah, sure. But that guy is something else. I know you're listening. It shocks me how much he listens. Hello, Chief Arde Saveda. All right, I'm going to go back to Bob Chapman. Bob Chapman, good to have you here with us. Let's get into the economy now. I mean, it's the establishment is jumping up and down saying it's the end of the world, trying to destroy confidence. That much is clear. Now they've openly again announced, Time Magazine this time, that they want a world government bank. The title of the article is The New World Order, last week, that will, quote, knock the heads of the people of America, that will control the United States, that we will pay our taxes to, and that will control all industry. I mean, this is open world government by the bankers.
If you remember, we discussed, starting about 6 weeks ago, my idea that what they wanted to do was to denigrate the system throughout the world, which they're in the process of doing, and at some point devalue the dollar and default on the debt, and all other nations would do the same thing, and then usher in a new currency and an attempt at one world government. And so the things that you're seeing going on are not through incompetence. They didn't happen that way. They were planned that way. When it's going to happen, I don't know. It's certainly up for conjecture. But the events are being put in place. The stock market has been kept from going down further than it is right now by the government. Now, you can see them in there every day. They're not artful at it anymore. They don't care what you think. They're arrogantly rigging the market, and they come in the last half hour, and if the market's down, they run it right back up again like they did yesterday. Market was down 250 points on the Dow and ended up off just several points on the day. And, of course, when they feel like it, they take a whack at gold and silver and other things. Oil. I mean, look what they've done to oil. They've got it down to $34 a barrel. I mean, who would have ever thought at $147 per barrel that we'd be looking at $34 a barrel? Incidentally, the oil sands in Canada are now unprofitable. I think their break-even is around $40. And so, they are the number one oil exporter to the United States, so that's going to have some impact there. But anyway, they are in there manipulating the markets, and they're not going to stop doing it, and they don't care what we say. They're going to do what they want to do because they think that they're going to be able to take over and accomplish what they've set out to do. So what can we expect? Now, we can expect before the year is over, and maybe quite soon, that the stock market will break down to new low levels, probably 6,000, 6,500 on the Dow, and it's around 7,900 approximately right now. If that happens, I would expect that gold would move higher, perhaps go up and test its highs, perhaps go up to $1,200 an ounce, maybe $1,700 an ounce this year, who knows? All I know is that when you have a depression, the only thing that holds its value against everything else is gold.
Well, Bob,
so keep it in mind.
You said 2 weeks ago here, when gold was at 840, that you thought it was going to go up and test 830, and that if it went past that, that it was going to probably go up to 1,000 very soon. It's hit, what, 945 this week and is right up there right now?
Yes, that's correct. It slipped back here this morning. It's at 3:30 this morning, it was down 980. Yesterday it was off a little bit. And what they call this is a slight retracement, and they call it technically filling gaps. And that's what gold is doing right now. The technicians are allowing the debt gaps to get filled here for the next launch, which will be against the former high, intraday $1,033, if memory serves me correctly. And so, fortunately, especially for subscribers and listeners who are doing business with Midas, when I made that call a couple of weeks ago, I was dead on. I'm a little disappointed that I didn't actually pick the intraday bottom of 812, but that's okay. I was close enough. And we're in a very powerful move, and the commercial shorts continue to increase their short position. And they're short right now around 170,000 contracts. Long term, they usually short 95, so whatever is beyond that is new. Not too long ago, several months ago, their short positions were over 200,000. They went to about 230,000. So we have that distance between 170 and 230,000 contracts that speculators can come in and buy gold. Speculators are out of the market. And if they come in, this thing's going to whiplash and just go bang upward.
And now,
so it looks very, very good.
Now, Bob, I'm looking at the chart right now, Gold went to a high of $946 an ounce. It's at $939 right now. That is up over $130 just in the last, what, month?
That's correct, since we made the call. And I don't try to play the market short term. I just try to tell people, look, this thing's ready to go. Go all in. And many of them have, and needless to say, they're prospering because of it. And but I think this is going to reach and test and go through. And then it's going to be very powerful. There's going to be an awful lot of money made.
You know what Ted and offered on there? Sorry, Bob, go ahead.
Say that again, please.
No, I was saying Ted offered on air 2 days ago gold that he bought in the market at 830 at the 935 level. That was over $100 over when he bought the gold in the market, beating even his previous deals. I told listeners that he was going to run out of that gold at that price. He did. It's gone. But he was able to get a deal near that, and he still has some silver at the old deal, but the gold is gone at the old deal. I wanted to bring Ted in briefly, and if folks don't take advantage of it, they're insane. Gold was, you know, $280 five, six, 7 years ago, and now it's, you know, up at $940. It's been up to $1,030. All I know is they can play games with it, but long term, it's only going up in a hyperinflationary system. I mean, is it 100% investment? There's no such thing, especially in this market. But it is the safest bet out there. It's what the elites buy. Ted Anderson, tell folks the new insanely good offer.
Well, here's what it is. I mean, when gold was down there at that 830 level, I did pick up a bunch of stuff. We were offering those francs down there at 202 at that time. Now they're currently at 221. Now you could say, well, they're up and it's too late to buy it. Not really, because gold currently right now at this time, this is the stuff that I picked up at 870. Gold francs at this time are at 235, so I have them at 221, a fabulous buy. And then I have the British sovereigns right now. We've been talking about those. Presently, I have those at the price of 275, and the market right now is carrying them for 288. The thing that I have that's still down there, when that silver was low at that $9 to $10 level, I was picking up bags of Walking Liberties and bags of Mercury Dimes. And I have the Walking Liberties currently right now at $869 or $173 per roll. They're going to be up a lot higher. The Mercury Dimes currently right now are at $1.59 each, or $1,590 per units of 100 face. And both of those are a fabulous buy. But we have older $10 Liberties and $10 or $20 gold pieces. I mean, we have a whole array of things here that I, you know, when I see the market dipping and I watch what's going on in Washington, D.C., and no offense to the people that are the supporters of Barack Obama, but I'm telling you, they're doing everything that they could possibly do right now 100% wrong. I mean, they are thinking that the solution to this debt problem that we have right now is to create more debt. And that is only going to cause...
Well, they're the bankers, Ted. It's bad for all of us, but good for the New World Order to further enslave everybody. But Bob Chapman, how good of a deal as a gold and silver expert is the offer Ted is offering?
It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Well, the thing about it is, Bob, I mean, if I can get in here and just take advantage of those market dips. I mean, like you said, when gold was down there at that 817 and you're saying buy, I'm right with you. I'm like, you know, I need to buy as much as I can, stack it up in my safe, get as much coming to me at that price level as I can, because I just know that with the president and Congress and everything that's going on, the news that's out there, that you can count on the fact that it's going to go back up again. And that's exactly what it's been doing for the last year and a half. And there's no question about it in my mind that if I can get in and take advantage of it, when that thing broke back down below that $900 level and started dipping around 870, I'm accumulating. I know most of the people in the market are like getting scared and they're covering their mouth and going, oh, it's coming back down again. I can't buy this. That's just the exact opposite of what you need to do. You need to buy it at that time. So
yeah,
that's
Ted always tells you buy when it's low. But if you look at the chart, it's only going straight up. But people don't. They buy when it's high. So Ted does the best thing. He buys it when it's low and sells it to you at the low price when it's high, when he knows you'll act. So it's just a win-win-win-win-win all around. You cannot beat this deal. So you've got sovereigns, you've got francs, you've got $10, you've got $20 gold pieces, you've got silver dimes. Right now at the insane level of 870 with gold up there at 940 right now as we speak. So, folks, please take advantage of this. 800-686-2237. 1-800-686-2237. Ted, the old deal's gone now. We told folks this is the next best thing. How long can you hold this?
Well, I'm going to be holding on all the way. I mean, I know it's Friday, so I'm prepared to go right through to Monday. You know, right as we turn the clock midnight, I'm stopping it. And if the prices hold and for some reason I'm able to do some more inventory after that, I'll do it. But I'm going to have to keep an
eye
on it.
All right, 800-686-2237. And, folks, for the last 3 weeks I've meant to buy a few gold coins and some silver for my family, and I've been too busy and I haven't done it. So I know how it is. Guess what? Alex gets the new price, but it's still the best price anywhere in the market. Don't wait till it goes up even more. Like I've done. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. They'll be there right through to Sunday night. Right, Ted?
Be here.
All right. Thank you, Ted Anderson. 800-686-2237. We'll be right back with Bob Chapman. I mean, what do you really expect to happen when you let foreign offshore banks since 1913 control the issuance of currency and credit? They bought almost everything up. Now they've domesticated everybody. They hired top scientists more than 100 years ago to figure out how to brainwash and dumb people down. It's all public. And now they're wanting to pull a mass culling, as Prince Philip calls it, Queen Elizabeth's husband. Now they're wanting to have a big cultural revolution and convert us to being lapdogs and disarm us. I mean, it's here. Bob Chapman, I don't think they're going to get away with it, though. This is not Russia. This is not China. I know we're decadent and wicked people now, but there's still a lot of good left in us. I hope folks will get a copy of the International Forecaster, theinternationalforecaster.com. Get a free online copy of it or subscribe. Get it twice a week. It's a huge intelligence report, invaluable information. Or you can also call Ted Anderson at 800-686-2237. And get a free trial hard copy, 800-686-2237. We got 4 minutes left. Anything else that you think is important to add, Bob Chapman?
Yes. I think next week gold will be moving higher. I think that the stimulus program will probably levitate the economy for a few months, maybe as much as six, and it'll be over. I think early next year we'll have a new stimulus program because the first one wasn't powerful enough, and that'll be over $2 trillion, and all that will do is extend the problems that we have into 2012, particularly in real estate. And I noticed the other day, just before the market was over, the administration was talking about helping people their loans. Where they're going to get the money from, I don't know. They're finally coming out with some of the details on the stimulus package. And again, as Ted said earlier, it's just not going to work. And we've seen history, particularly the 1930s and the 1920s, and we know what to expect. We know the failure of the FDR administration, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the failure of the Weimar Republic during the 1920s due to reparations and other problems. And, of course, that brought to power people like Mussolini and Hitler. And I guess we're going to have our own version of that, or at least the insiders think that we're going to have our own version of that shortly.
One point, and, Bob, I don't see I don't see it going out to 2012. I mean, the commercial real estate going belly up, the car market going belly up, all these companies going belly up, stimulate the economy by refurbishing government buildings. And then Robert Reich is out saying, well, we don't want to hire white men. That's actual quote. So they're going to give the illegal aliens some jobs.
Well, that's why I call him the evil dwarf. And I got a lot of flack from that when I did that. I guess it was about 15 years ago. And I've spoken to him, and he says, I know who you are. But anyway, he's no dummy, and he's part of this package of evil people. And they're pandering to the minorities, and that's the way they hope to continue to get their brand of internationalism into power. And that's probably what George Bush was all about, make everybody as mad as you can so that the A-team can come in and finish off the job. But I believe I agree with you, Alex. They're going to go for it, and they're not going to win. And it's going to be very painful economically, financially, and there could be a lot of people would get killed as well. But we will win at a price because we didn't do our homework earlier. And this time, they're not going to get away with it.
Bob Chapman, always informative to have you on. Godspeed. We'll see you this time, Lord willing, next week.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye, listeners.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up later in the hour, we're scheduled to have two New Hampshire state representatives on. They've introduced House Concurrent Resolution 6 that has the strongest wording of any of the 20-plus bills we've seen, some passing states, some on their way to passage if you put pressure on them. Establishing martial law or a state of emergency within one of the states comprising the United States of America without the consent of the legislature of the state. They're saying the state is going to secede if this happens. Requiring involuntary servitude or governmental service for the people. Article 2, slavery. Article 3, requiring involuntary servitude or governmental service for persons under the age of 18. That's in the president's new public plan. Article 4, surrendering any power delegated or not delegated to any corporation or foreign government. That's these criminal treaties signing authority over to even private corporations, not just governments or multinational groups. Any act regarding legislation and religion, further limitations on freedom of speech, political speech, or further limitations on freedom of the press, which is federal systems pushing for. Article 6, further infringements on the right to keep and bear arms, including prohibitions on the type and quantity of arms and ammunition, and that should any such act of Congress become law or executive order or judicial order be put into force, all powers previously delegated to the United States of America by the Constitution of the United States shall revert to the several states' individuals. Any further government of the United States of America shall require ratification of 3/4 of the states seeking to form a government of the United States and shall not be binding upon any state not seeking to form any such government. We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv, ladies and gentlemen, and this is secession. And there's now 20-plus states with similar legislation introduced or passing. Now, understand, people are like, how dare them try to overthrow the federal government? The federal government is constituted by the states and by the people, 10th Amendment. We constituted. The federal government's been hijacked decades and decades and decades and decades ago by offshore banks. Now they're not intent to have trillions in fiat currency and own hundreds of palaces and jets and incredible power and companies. They want to micromanage our lives and run every facet of our lives and disarm us and social engineer us and have remote control systems controlling our TVs, computers, thermostats. It's all announced. Shutting down farms and ranches. I mean, you can't make up something this bad. Now, technology is allowing us to get around their controlled media, but it's also the double-edged sword they're using against the people. And that's what's happening right now. That's what's happening in a big way. So I beg and I plead for everybody out there to look at the evidence, to look at the information. You know, we covered this article, and I've researched it. I've researched what's going on around the country. It's an accurate story from the Daily Newscaster. In FEMA and DHS preparing for mass graves and martial law near Chicago, and it gets into the mass graves, the martial law, all of it. Folks, they're moving. The feds are federalizing everything right now. Obama just grabbed the census away from any congressional overview and is going to use it as a way to make Americans report on themselves and tell the government everything they're doing constantly. They're seizing the National Security Council, taking over all the federal agencies, saying Congress has no oversight. PDD 51 that states the president is absolute ruler, that Bush signed, that Obama's continuing. Notice he's not reversing any of those executive orders. You know, he'll say he's not going to hire lobbyists, and frankly, I've never seen an administration with this many lobbyists in it. He's saying he's going to end the war, and he increases the troops massively, and now says, oh, 23 months, we'll look at pulling out. Maybe. It's gone from 6 months to 16 months to 23 months in a month. So I guess in a year, it'll be 20 years till they leave. I mean, you know, not 2 years. That's what's going on. That's what's happening. We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv in very dark hours for the Republic. It's a corporate takeover of the United States, the state governments, the local governments, your bank accounts. They have got you in debt so they can implode it and have a fire sale and then own everything, and then you'll be dependent on them. That's the plan. Total domestication, total institutionalization, feudalism.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Thank you. We are back live. We have Representative Ingberston joining us in about 25 minutes. We have Representative Dan Itza joining us here in just a few minutes from New Hampshire. It's always fun dragging these men and women off the floor when they're in session or busy. Before we go to the next guest, I just want to encourage the listeners to understand that Barack Obama is nothing but a front man and a puppet of the New World Order. And I know you know that. I know you know he's lied about everything he said he would do. We knew that was going to happen. Look at who bought and paid for him. We have to get past his cult of personality. Remember, Bush was a cult of personality. He had a 92%, 93% approval rating after they staged 9/11, but that dissipated quickly because they need that messianic front leader to carry their agenda through to fool the public. I mean, he'll sit there and go up to old ladies and go, I'm stopping all the lobbyists. I'm stopping all the corruption. I promise you. I pledge. And then we were trying to do voiceovers last night with all the lobbyists, and we had to stop. There's hundreds. I mean, they fill the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, right down to the 20th post at every major department, Department of Defense, Department of Education, Health and Human Services. That's only one facet of the film. It's like 10 minutes of the film. It's just his lies on lobbyists. I mean, I'm probably going to have to cut it down. The lies about the war, the lies about wiretapping, the lies about torture, the lies about... Because he'll say, I signed an executive order stopping it all, and you read the executive order, it doesn't. It continues it. But then there's the really scary stuff, the gun confiscation, the FEMA camps, the youth brigades, the socialism. I mean, it's all covered in the Obama deception, available at InfoWars.com. Right now, you can order it on the secure online Yahoo shopping cart. And then your order goes in the stack. There's a stack in there. And it, from the first order to the last, it goes in that order, shipped out. We'll pretty sure have the video in probably a week, maybe even earlier before the release date. So you might even get a little surprise, and it might come before then. But that's doubtful. The point is, they'll first come, first serve. We're going to have these suckers pre-packed, ready to ship March 15th to you, the Obama deception. And it is so important to get these out to everyone. It is so important that this go absolutely viral. I want you to buy DVD burners. I want you to buy copies of DVDs, blank ones. If you got to sell all the junk in the garage to do it, you don't need that crap anyways, the old jet ski rotting. And just, or have a duplication place to make 1,000 copies. I don't want to say I don't care. I want you to make copies. I want this sucker to go to the four winds, and it'll be up on PrisonPlanet.tv in super high quality. You can burn it to disc or to DVD. prisonplanet.tv. Get your membership there now. 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month. And this goes back into our war chest to expand the fight and hire more people and get more done here in the fight against the globalist. So it's so important to pre-order The Obama Deception today. And don't wait. We've got all these other films we're carrying, like Eye of the Phoenix, Part 3 of America's Secret Beginnings. Just an amazing film available at Infowars.com. Endgame, Terror Storm, all of them. We're joined by Representative Dan Itza, who is one of the sponsors. In fact, his name is listed as first on the bill, so I guess he must have been the one that introduced it and wrote it. The state of New Hampshire, and it is House Concurrent Resolution 6, and it's the strongest and the best we've seen, saying they have right to revolt under their Article 10 in New Hampshire, Live Free or Die. They will pull out of the union if this basically continues and happens. That's the way I read the last page. If gun confiscation happens, if martial law happens, if they try to have youth brigades, which has all been announced. So, Representative Itza, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Well, I'm very proud to. I want to make sure that I'm perfectly clear about one thing. The objective of this resolution is not secession. The objective, the happiest resolution of this resolution would be a revitalized union within the confines of the Constitution. That said, if the general government should choose to aggress in a manner that nullifies the Constitution, it is impossible to secede from something that doesn't exist. And the preceding language, which does talk about essentially nullification of the Constitution, is not my language. That was Thomas Jefferson. Those are Thomas Jefferson's words.
Well, I understand. When the government becomes destructive of the aims in the Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, it is null and void. It is not just a right. It is a duty to break it
up and
reform it. So, please, sir, what made you write this legislation? What made you put Thomas Jefferson's words in there? I thought I recognized them. What has, and now this is really igniting a bushfire across the country. Because we are seeing not just a federal takeover. Time magazine, in an article titled The New World Order last week, said a foreign global bank will control the U.S. government and everything we do in the United States. So we're trying to head off a offshore banking takeover of the United States.
Absolutely, and many other things. What inspired me? Well, I mean, this isn't something new on my agenda. I submitted a resolution calling for the repeal of the odious portions of the Patriot Act in, I think, 2003. I submitted a resolution last year, which was last term, declaring that anything like the North American Union would be unconstitutional. But then this summer, when I was studying for my role as James Madison in the in the National Heritage Center for Constitutional Studies skit that we do every year, I came across the Kentucky resolutions, and they are just such a perfect, perfect statement of all the principles involved. I knew that I had to take them and incorporate them into a resolution and then give that resolution some objective.
Are you talking about the Kentucky resolution from 96 against the UN takeover of national parks?
No, I'm talking about the Kentucky Resolution of 1798.
Yes, okay.
Against the Alien and Sedition Act, which were the 18th century version of the Patriot Act.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so this goes right back to the foundations of our government. Jefferson wrote it and submitted it to Kentucky. He had James Madison submit it to Virginia, which Madison wouldn't have done if he didn't endorse the principles enumerated. So you've got the gentleman who drafted the Declaration of Independence and the gentleman who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America and its first 10 amendments. These are their principles. These are how they saw the relationship between the states and the general government. The general government is not the exclusive or final judge of the Constitution. The states are, representing the people.
Sir, and that's because the central government can be taken over by outside or corrupt forces within, and so the states are
obviously... It's because the states are the parties to the compact, and to allow the general government to be the exclusive or final judge of its delegated powers and those it might delegate to itself is to make its discretion and not the Constitution the measure of its power.
Representative Itza, let's go through the illegal activities, the unconstitutional activities of the federal government that is exploding right now, and then what your piece of legislation, HCR 6, is stating, and you know, the ultimatum that the state is laying out here.
Okay. I don't have it open before me, so you probably do, and you can correct me if I misstate, but the first one deals with the making of martial law or a state of emergency in any, not just ours, but any of the states, because that certainly violates the guarantee of a Republican form of government. You have to have the consent of that state's legislature to do so, as, you know, expressing the will of the people. The second one is involuntary servitude other than a draft during a time of war, and in fact there are good constitutional arguments against a draft because it would deprive the states of their militia. But involuntary servitude other than as a consequence of due process of law and an alternative to incarceration. Any involuntary servitude of someone under the age of 18. Any further infringements on freedom of the press, speech, religion, or any infringement on religion, any expansion of prohibitions on the types of firearms or quantity or types of ammunition that might be owned, aka HR 45. All of these things violate the fundamental maxims that are enumerated in our Constitution, either both in the Bill of Rights and in the main body itself.
And they are treason, are they not? This is treason.
Absolutely. And you know, once if you're in a divorce and you're in a marriage that is rocking and cruising for divorce, you don't just show up one day, or it's not right to just show up one day and hand divorce papers. You're obligated to go to that other person and say, look, we've got problems. We need to go to counseling. If you do this again, if you hit me again, this is over. So this is that notice. It is the line in the sand saying, no, we've tolerated the intolerable for some time now, but you know what? We're not going to tolerate it anymore. And if you do it again, you will have crossed the line. If you're dealing with a bully, you don't draw the line behind the bully. You draw the line between self and the bully. So that's what this is. This is the line in the sand.
Representative, stay there. I want you to repeat that when we come back as we're going into break. Finish up with your comments. And I've had other state reps on. I want to see if you're aware. I'm sure you are. You sound very informed about PDD 51 and other things, because they're definitely making their move. By the way, we started about a month ago really hammering this issue of the states and more of them declaring independence. Coast to Coast AM had me on a few days ago. Glenn Beck monitors that show and this show. He's going to have Representative Itza on his show tonight. He's leaving in about 30 minutes to go be on that show. So vital what you get out of this show, sir, with all the Fox News folks that don't know what's happening. And I'm going to be on Coast to Coast 3 hours next Monday with a bunch of other state reps. So thanks to you, the listeners, spreading the word, this is now becoming a major national story. And we don't have a hope. The federal government is taking over right now. FEMA camps, FEMA camp legislation, mass arrest, mass inoculation news, youth brigades. Representative Dan, please continue with what you were saying. About you filed this before Obama was even in office. I mean, that's key.
Right. I filed it last September. I crafted it last July and August. So this to me, this is not a new idea. This is vital for our times. It didn't matter to me whether it was Barack Obama or John McCain that would be elected. I saw the same handwriting on the wall. So now it is time for the states to assert themselves. There is no way that we are going to take back the general government in one giant gulp. If we have any hope at all, is to take it back one bite at a time, 50 small bites. And it's important that the people know that the selection of their representatives at the state level is far more important than their selection at the federal level, because their state representatives and executives are far more dangerous to them. We can reach far deeper into their pockets and their households. But we are also their only defense against the general government and against the overreachings of the federal government. And we have to now make this line in the sand and say, no, you cannot violate the Constitution. If you do, you have no authority here. And for instance, if some of these things become law, and I should clarify that. Think of things like H.R. 45, which is the federal gun license bill. Notice I said H.R., not H.B. H.B., or House bill, refers to public law. H.R. refers to a resolution which is defined as a communication and constitutes private law. So it is entered into by an agreement with the two parties. All these grants that we get, you agree to get the money, and in return, you abide by these rules for that money.
Yeah, it's federalizing the state laws for psychological testing, registration. They've got other bills to ban all semi-autos or to allow the attorney general to ban anything at will. They're also saying they're going to put gun owners on no-fly list just to ban you from buying guns. I mean, they're coming after us. They're not playing games.
But remember, these are resolutions. So it is perfectly legitimate for any state to say that resolution is not valid within our state. And anybody who attempts to enforce it, we will arrest and prosecute. Do with it what you will.
And that's what your bill is saying. Explain how you will prosecute. Flesh that out.
If they enact a federal gun license and they attempt to enforce it, we say anybody who enforces it is committing, or attempts to enforce it, is committing a misdemeanor A, for instance, which includes jail time. And we will prosecute them. And we create another resolution informing the federal government that we've done it. Let them sit on that and smoke it.
Yeah, and they're trying to bill Obama as Lincoln, and he says he's going to keep the union together. We know the feds are concerned about the states rebelling. They know that the people are upset, 80% against the war, 99% against the North American Union in polls, 99% against the bailout in polls, 98% depending on the poll. So
well,
PDD...
Maybe he is Lincoln. What was the result of the Civil War? What happened at the end of the Civil War?
Reconstruction, federal control, mass slaughter.
One step before that, there was forced repatriation of the Southerners. People were repatriated at the point of a gun. That is the end of government by consent.
That's right. That was breaking the back of the states. That's why the New World Order loves him so much.
What does the 14th Amendment do? It makes us, it presumes to make us, or it has been construed to make us, federal citizens before we are state citizens. And it has replaced, in freeing the slaves, we made everyone a slave.
And it turns a right into a privilege granted by the Roman civil government, going back to the Roman model. Stay there, sir. Wow, what an impressive state representative, so informed. Look what they're introducing. These are great men and women. Stay there. We're going to have you on with the other state rep, Ingbertston, as well, when we come back from New Hampshire. All right, we are back live, finishing up with Representative Dan Itza, who introduced the bill in New Hampshire. He's going to be on Glenn Beck tonight, hopefully on Coast to Coast AM next Monday, if he'll do it. Coast to Coast asked me to give him his number. Be on there with myself riding shotgun with George Norrie. And then we've got Representative Paul Ingridson, who's also a sponsor, who's been listening to the show. Glad to have him on board. Going to go to him in just a moment. Finishing up the point you were making before the break, PDD 51, signed by Bush last year, said that in any emergency, the Congress has no authority. The executive rules all. In the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, it states that they are preparing to engage the states, the American people, and now the Army War College has announced, and it's a Defense Department statement, 4 months old. It's been all over the news, 20,000 combat troops. And it says the governors will serve at the pleasure of the president. The state guards are being brought unto the federal government. And that if the president so chooses, the governor will serve as a dual-hatted federal officer. I mean, this is blasphemy to the 10th Amendment. This is exactly what they did with Lincoln after the Civil War, during Reconstruction, putting in puppet governors. It's what the British did that caused 1775 and 6. So I've set the table with that, sir. Can you, in your own words, A, are you aware of all those nightmares? And B, if not, I hope you research it fast before you go on Glenn Beck, because it's real. Knowing that, what does that say?
No. Though it doesn't surprise me, I guess one of the greatest travesties and mistakes we ever made was to change the title of our chief executive from president to governor in 1792, because that would have made the duality more apparent. Unfortunately, at that time, we foolishly put our trust in the federal government. So, and it's surprising that we did, because we were actually very, very temerarious about ratifying the Constitution. We were the ninth one to do so, and it almost didn't pass in New Hampshire. It actually, the area that I represent was anti-federalist.
Well, let me, because you're so informed on the other issues, more informed than I, I'm sure, and many, let me just give you Presidential Decision Directive 51, John Warner Defense Authorization Act of 2007, passed concurrently each year in the defense budget. And then, I mean, I'm sure you heard about the 20,000 combat troops and
I'm aware of that one. But, you know, the idea that anybody could declare that the executive is superior to the legislature is patently unconstitutional. There's a reason why, you know, there's so much devoted to the legislature in Article 1, a lesser amount to the executive in Article 2, and a scant amount to the judiciary in Article 3. It's because the legislature is the supreme branch of government.
That's right. First, they lied to us in the last 100 years and said they were co-equal, but I've read the Anti-Federalist and Federalist Papers. The legislature, because it comprises the greatest number of separated powers derived from the people and is the hardest to take over with the tyranny, it is supreme. But instead,
absolutely,
PDD 51 says you ain't nothing. It's the president.
Well, and that's a lie. I mean, you know, you don't have to adhere or recognize or reverence a lie. I mean, we have the judicial decision that has given the judiciary supremacy is actually a New Hampshire judicial decision from 1819. And everybody has been bowing to it ever since. But if you analyze the decision itself is a lie, is a misrepresentation of the fact.
Sir, is the federal government Representative, is the federal government completely morally bankrupt now and illegitimate?
I don't know that I would go that far. I mean, is the federal government itself fundamentally illegitimate? No. Are many of its acts illegitimate? Yes. And you have to separate the two. It's like separating, you know, the sin from the sinner. There is a constitution to which we agreed establishes a general government for purposes of external affairs and mediation between the states. I mean, and that's his purpose.
But Representative, that is the meat of the issue. By signing Bretton Woods II and international agreements to cede final authority over major commerce and banking to an offshore bank that will control the United States, and to have NORTHCOM taking over the states, that is fully breaking the compact, and a new form of government, tyrannous, is being perfected.
And we didn't stand up to it at the time. That is the importance of something like HCR6 coming from each of the states, notifying them that further acts of this type are intolerable and constitute a nullification of the Constitution. That you don't just hit somebody out of the blue. That's why there was an olive branch petition and a Declaration of Independence. And you know, when the war for independence started, it was not something that the colonists wanted. If you look at New Hampshire's first constitution in 1770, January of 76, prior to the Declaration of Independence, it was established because the governor quit the state. He left, got in a little rowboat and went out to sea, got on a big boat and went back over to England. And we said, my God, we don't have a government. And so we established one. But the introductory paragraphs say this is a temporary constitution until we can be reunited with Great Britain. There was no desire.
No, I understand. Nobody wants war. But you know what Patrick Henry said? You can hear the clash of arms of the North. Why stand we here idle? I agree to avert physical confrontation.
So we
need to get the word out, though, that great tyranny is upon us. I want to bring... I want to be fair to the next state representative. Stay there, though, sir, and comment on what he has to say.
We're compatriots. We're buddies.
Okay, let's bring up Representative Ingbertson. Paul Ingbertson joins us from New Hampshire as well. He's a co-signatory to this bill that's been put together by Congressman Itza. You've been hearing what we've been discussing, sir. Your comments on what's going on.
Well, first, Alex, I want to thank you for what you're trying to do nationwide. I saw you many years ago, I think, when you first started up, and I want to congratulate you on the education you've given yourself over the course of these years.
Thank you.
I thought, boy, you need to learn a few things, and I'm extremely impressed with where you've gotten, and you are doing a tremendous service to the cause of freedom. I really honor you. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, thank you, Paul. We all learn. You know, I think the biggest thing is I was silly and ignorant, but I had guts, and guts was enough. And you guys aren't silly and ignorant, and you've got guts, so it's great. Tell us what's happening here. I mean, this is history.
Well, I can just give you my view, and the reason I signed on, I think with you that we're way past the point of tolerating. We're actually abetting now as states. This stuff has gone on so long. You know, I'm looking at the line in the Declaration of Independence, a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all obviously by this point having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. And what was the conclusion of that statement? It's a Declaration of Independence. We have no choice, in my opinion, at this point to start looking toward dissolving this government. And since they're starting to see this and they know this is happening, and since they know it will happen, when they begin to bring their the tyrannical tendency, laws and that sort of thing, they're trying to preempt it, and so bills like this are critical. Dan is correct; you have to. The last thing any of us want to see is blood. Even though Jefferson believed it was the only way we'd ever keep our our freedoms, but knowing people like this, no, he's doing the right thing. We're trying to figure out a way to get the states back to conversation with each other, and then to get us all looking simultaneously at the federal government and saying, what is this monster we've created, and what should we do about it?
Absolutely, and my central point here is studying the federal government and what the military was preparing, what the Pentagon has been saying for decades. They have always known that the main legitimate threat to them was the states, and they have been trying to quietly federally take over the counties and the cities. And as you said, it's very, very dark. It's past midnight. The tyranny is here. And if enough of a buzz is created and the people stand up and say no through their states, we may be able to avert this and back it off. I mean, when we look at Madoff, founder of the NASDAQ, stealing $50 to $100 billion and not even getting in trouble, when we look at the very bankers that have stolen trillions now running the White House, Bush had them running the White House, they come in with Obama. I mean, it's clearly a completely bankrupt, illegitimate group of criminals that have hijacked the federal government. So how do we get them out of there and then get our republic back? Your comments on that, Representative.
Yes, well, you know, this is it. This first part is this correspondence that is being recommended in this resolution. The states have to begin to open up dialogue with each other and analyze the problem. We have to do this systematically, and we have to do it now. It's way past time. We are the authority. The first thing that happened to us that really started this problem was the loss of the representation by the states and the federal government. The states now no longer have representation. We have representatives elected by popular, but not by the states' bodies themselves. So there's no corporate representation, and that's why actions like this don't seem to make sense to a lot of people in the state houses. But the first part is to get back to a conversation where the states talking to the states.
Well, we see through federalism they're creating regional governments in the states that bypass state authority, and the states seem to think it's free federal money when it was state money to begin with. I'd like to get a comment from the author of the bill, Representative Dan Itza.
It's time to stop bribing me with my own money. this is like parents who created a child known as the general government and left discipline for so long that it has become an incorrigible child. And it's time for the parents to take the child to the woodshed.
That's terrific.
It's true. I mean, we created this, and now foreign bankers hijacked it and are telling us we're slaves?
Yes. I sit on the education committee, and of course, I have communications with my own school superintendents and that sort of thing. And, you know, the federal government has no role whatsoever in education, period. There's no role. They can't tax for it. They can't pass laws about it. But instead what they do is they raise these monies and they get us tied to it. And then they come on with a bigger one, a bigger bite now. Now, No Child Left Behind is the actual official takeover of public education in the schools by the federal government. The whole package is absolutely outrageous. And that's
now
they're doing it with their own money. And believe it or not, your local people believe that if we don't have the federal money, we're going to somehow go broke as if they didn't get the stuff from us, and if not, as if they were not siphoning it off into their own pockets all the way along the way. We're only getting a tiny portion of it back anyway. It's a madness. It's just almost beyond belief.
Well, look at what they've done. Now they have, by federal law, if the states take the money, the army is in all the schools. They're threatening the children to arrest them if they don't sign up for the military, saying it's the law. That's on record everywhere. They are...
Excuse me, Lawman.
I mean, it is serious. Go ahead.
Well?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. No, I thought somebody was trying to reach me, but apparently not.
No, I understand you guys are in your offices and busy. Gentlemen, you've got the floor, both of you. I mean, have a dialogue about where this is going. People say, oh, we're not going to have the states pass this. Oh, it doesn't matter. We'll just roll over and die then, because the nation's been seized by offshore banks. If the fires of liberty are lit and in these times of adversity, they are, we have a good chance of having a counter-revolution and taking our country back and restoring it against these globalists who are the real revolutionaries, the real hijackers.
Well, that's an interesting point. One of my papers I write about the New World Order. The New World Order is what was created in 1776 for the New World. What we're gravitating back toward now is the Old World Order, European-style aristocracy. And it's time for us to hitch up our britches and, as Pastor Garrett Lear, the Patriot pastor, says, somebody's stolen my country and I want her back.
And a further comment, by the way, this bill came into committee yesterday. I don't know if you knew about this, Alex, but the Federal and State Relations Committee in New Hampshire's State House, and we had had a count going on. We'd heard about the Democrats talking to each other and basically had almost uniformly agreed to go along with this bill. And with one exception that we knew of, the Republicans all were planning to vote for this bill. And an odd thing happened on the way to the forum, I guess you could say. when the bill came up, it just turned out that the speaker, who's a Democrat, was standing at the door of that committee as they voted, and the vote went the other way. We wound up with 11-7 against passage of this bill. I suggest to you that you're already on top of it, and that is that certain powers that be and certain establishment players are part of the problem, and they're in the states. They're all over the place.
And the interesting thing is when that, in preparation for that vote, you know, that somebody makes the motion of inexpedient to legislate, which was the vice chair, and then there's discussion of the bill. There was not one stealing argument, I don't believe any argument, in favor of the motion of inexpedient to legislate. There were four arguments against it, and then the vote was taken. And without any rational support for the motion, it passed.
And, Alex, that's what it's coming to. We've seen this in the last couple of years. We've been a Republican House for a long time. In the last 2 years, we're finding that we can stand up and argue the merits, argue the logic, argue everything. There's basically silence on the other side, and then the vote just goes socialist, I guess you could say. It just goes sideways.
Yeah, they've spent decades setting this up.
Oh, yeah.
And they're now going for broke. And we're going to be reorganized. You know, the big international banks did this in the Soviet Union. They did it in Germany. They did it in China. It's all now declassified, and they're doing it here. And, folks, I'm not playing games. We've shown you the documents, had the guest on. They plan to really gut this country and do some bad things. So many people, men, are going to, if this goes bad, if we're unable to stop this, they're going to wish to God they'd have joined us. People who serve the evil, I think, are just so cynical and lazy and only into their own personal baubles that they don't understand that this is historic. This isn't just corruption as usual.
Alex, we have, you know, as a support for that, we've been called by a number of shows, including some people who do radio shows, military individuals who do radio shows. There are people who are in all places in government and other places that do understand what's going on.
Let's talk about that when we get back, gentlemen. If you could stay with me five more minutes after the break. We'll also want to give out your websites and contact information for people that want to join you or get the bill and try to get it passed in their state. The fight is ours, and we'll take it up in our hands. Our destiny lies before us. It is not only to the strong that this fight beckons. All of you can do something. We have two great representatives on who I think have put together the best of all the states I've read. It's over 20 now. We're going to continue next week with more state representatives as we beat this drum to rise the people up from every hill and mountain, from every church top, from the lowlands to the seacoast, telling the people that 1776 is upon us yet again. In closing with Representative Dan Itzum and Representative Paul Ingbertson. Gentlemen, how do we help you get this done in New Hampshire? Contact the media, make them cover it. Looks like it's already starting to happen. How do we get other states to do this? I mean, as you said earlier, Representative Ingbertson, we need to educate the states, the city councils, the counties. I mean, really, it's education here, isn't it?
The first thing is that everybody who's listening in New Hampshire needs to assail the government. They need to call their representatives. They need to call the leadership of both parties in the legislature and let them know that they are demanding the defense of their liberty from the federal government. And there's going to be a rally at the State House the day that the vote is taken. Presumably right now that's March 4th.
Okay, we need to get other rallies going around the country. Don't wait for orders from headquarters, listeners. Start the movement now. Call the state reps that have introduced it in your state. Tell them you want to set a rally and help them. Buy radio ads. Do whatever you've got to do. Going to Representative Ingbertson. Sir, should people call you guys? Should they contact you? Should they? I mean, how can we help?
Well, I recommend they do that, but I think the more important thing is to call the reps. They're 400, very easy to get all the addresses. You can mail to them simultaneously. If you go to nh.gov, it's not hard to find that stuff. I tell you this for one reason and one reason only. I don't want people to be, overwhelmed out there with this, but what we're getting in media here, and Dan can tell you more specifically, he had a contact yesterday with the Concord Monitor, I believe it was, Dan, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, where they simply said, what in the heck are you bothering this kind of crap for when we have real problems? And I'm telling you, folks, that's the media you're talking about right now. You can't get any leverage with stuff like this because we have real problems. My point to Dan was, if this isn't a real problem, folks, I think I'm going to quit government. I don't even belong here. This is the most real and the most serious problem we've got facing us.
Well, that's the
point. The way the media is handling it around here. Anything they can do to become the media, these people out there with their phones and their emails and all that stuff, anything they can do to become the media would be
huge. Well, I was about to say, that's the plan, is the feds are bankrupting things by design. We have their own documents to then make everybody get on the government tit here. I mean, yep. This is to sell us on an expanded wave. Go ahead.
I'd like to read you something from Federalist Paper 46, written by James Madison. Besides the advantage of being armed, which the Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, the existence of subordinate governments to which the people are attached and by which the militia officers are appointed forms the barrier against the enterprise of ambition, more insurmountable than with any which a simple government of any form can admit of. Notwithstanding the military establishments of the several kingdoms of Europe, which are carried as far as the public resources will bear, the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms, and it is not certain that with this aid they would alone be able to shake off their yoke. But were the people to possess the additional advantage of local government chosen by themselves, who could collect the national will and direct the national force, and of officers appointed out of the militia by these governments and attached both to them and to the militia, it may be affirmed with the greatest assurance that the throne of every tyranny in Europe would be speedily overturned in spite of the legions which surround it. Let us not insult the free and gallant citizens of America with suspicion that they would not be less able to defend the right which they would be in actual possession.
Amen.
All right, we are out of time. I want to have you both up again next week because I know you have more to say. So to both of you representatives, Paul Ingbertson and to Dan Itza, thank you so much. Congratulating all of you out there. For a month, we've been covering the rebellion of the states against the tyranny. The federal government has been completely hijacked and is illegitimate. They are bringing in one of the most vicious tyrannies ever seen on record. Our worst analysis turned out to be less than what the truth was. It was far worse than we thought. These are the men, the time that try men and women's souls. And we just want to commend and thank all of you that are here and spreading the word, because this issue of the states saying no to the globalists, this is the only hope we've got. They're bankrupting us by design to bring us into receivership. For the next hour, he's going to be in studio with us, George Humphrey, my good friend. I remember when I first started getting active in like 1995, and I remember I was running around volunteering for Pat Buchanan because he was speaking out against the New World Order at the time. Love him or hate him, the point is we were just learning. And I went over to drop off a bunch of signs to another volunteer, and it was at George Humphrey's house. And George is a former city council member, successful businessman, degreed economist. That's why we have him here today in studio with us. After the show's over, he's the last interview we're doing for the Obama deception, because I want to insert him some into this film that you can already pre-order. It'll be done in a few weeks. Pre-order it now at Infowars.com. Today, hope that you will do that. George, I want you to recap what you said in that brief interview earlier this week when you were just here visiting, when you were on for 10 minutes, and then let's go through where you see the future and the different divergent paths that the future can bring that we literally are the governors of if we simply take action and put our will into it. George Humphrey, great to have you here.
First of all, I am so glad to be here. And Alex, what you are doing and what you've done in this last 6 months is just awesome. And what you've been doing for the last 15 years is just incredible. And it's been a real pleasure and an honor to be your friend and ally in this period of time. I mean, you know what? When we first got involved in it, we were kind of scared we'd lose our friends. And I just finished being a city council member, and I was wanting to run for U.S. Congress. And I said, God, if I talk about this stuff, I won't be able to run for Congress. And I went, well, what's more important, telling the truth or doing this? And so for the last 10, 12 years, there was a lot of ostracism. There was a lot of people who made fun, who derided us. You know, there goes Alex. There goes George. Those are the crazy guys talking about the New World Order. But over and over and over, and especially this last 4 or 5 months, more and more and more people are coming up to me. I was just at Starbucks on the way here. Three folks, just as straight as they can be, you know, frat guys, come up to me. Aren't you the guy? Da-da-da. And they knew all about your show, and they had just become aware of this stuff. Everybody is becoming aware, and information is the key. And that's what we're here to do. We don't have to pump anything up. There's so much information. This is not conspiracy theory. It's just the history of what's going on in our culture and what is happening right now. And we have a choice. And the first thing is to become educated. And clearly, 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 our nation, our culture is addicted to materialism, to the soft life, to a very unhealthy way of going through life. We've forgotten God. We've forgotten our families. And, you know, just like in Alcoholics Anonymous, they talk about the different steps of denial and derision and of anger and of fear and of depression, and then finally of acceptance. And it's my opinion that with this recession, which is actually a depression that we're going into right now, is that a majority of the people in this country are going from derision, and they've been going through anger, and now they're going into fear and depression.
Stay there. Got a break. George Humphrey, our guest in studio, will continue with this analysis on the other side as the resistance mounts.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
George Humphrey's our guest in studio, filmmaker, author, resister of the New World Order. He came up in that early 1990s wave that so many of us activated in. We felt it in our spirit. All the evidence was there. Now a wave, I would say 1,000 times bigger, a wavelength has begun. The enemy sees it. We've analyzed their attack profile, George, and it's all about stopping the states. And more I realize that is the key point, and they are scared. And I think if the people just energize and realize they have victory, and the phony Christian churches have taught them this is the end, you've got to lay down to corruption, you can't stop it. That's the opposite of what Christ taught.
Absolutely.
And regardless of the consequences, we're always to do right. And the clergy response teams, the brainwash FEMA patrols, now it's all public. Everything we said came true. Now people that laughed at us are remembering. And they're understanding, so now is the time of maximum effort. Please continue.
Well, absolutely. And I think we should go back to our philosophy about what life is and what you just said. The one that most people call Jesus, who I call Yeshua, he taught individual freedom. He taught about spirituality, about divinity, that each and every one of us are powerful. We're divine. We're sovereign, and that one person can make a difference. 75 years ago, we saw Mahatma Gandhi do the same thing in India, and that's what you and I and others are doing, is that not only are we sharing the information of the first awakening, but we're also sharing the information that every single one of us is a part of the healing or the destruction of this culture. And I choose, and I think you choose, to be a part of the healing. And the first thing is to get the right information. And quite clearly, the culture of America has been, and of the Western cultures, has been manipulated very, very cleverly to make people, put people in victim consciousness and to make us addicted. And we quite clearly have become addicted to mammon or materialism or to the soft life. And in Alcoholics Anonymous, they always say the first step is acknowledgement. And then they talk about the different steps of breaking through. And it's denial, it's depression, derision, and then it's anger, and then fear, and then depression, and then finally acceptance. And for years and years, the information that Alex and I put out, it was denied, denied, denied. And then there was a lot of derision. Oh, there goes Alex. Oh, there goes George. Those crazy guys talking about conspiracy theory. And now with what's going on, people have gone through kind of the angry phase, but now they're going into the deep fear and depression stages because they're losing their money. And as an economist, I always like to look at the economy because it is always the precursor to the political, cultural, and environmental changes.
And George, you wrote a book, was it 10 or 11 years ago, where you said with the derivatives, they were getting us all in debt, getting us leverage, yeah. They were buying up the world while the fiat Ponzi scheme had value, and then they leave us holding the bag, and then they come in with the only currency as the saviors and totally take over society. You're right.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not me being right. It's just the information is there, and I've written three different booklets, and you've written several different booklets, and 12 years ago, we were laying this whole scenario out. I thought that the bubble was going to burst 3 or 4 years ago, but very skillfully, the masters of deception have been able to keep pumping, pumping, pumping up the bubble. But all bubbles eventually break. And this economic bubble, through the structured investment vehicles, the derivatives, it's the biggest bubble ever in the whole world. Bigger than the real estate bubble, bigger than any of the other bubbles that we have seen. And because these derivatives were unregulated, our slave masters were able to take profits at 20, 30, 50, and sometimes 100 to 1 as they pushed up these derived indexes. And that's what caused this huge, I mean, it's so far past bankruptcy that words don't even describe where we are. We were talking about bankruptcy, 15 years ago. But as most of you are aware of, with a fiat currency, it's designed to fail. With a fiat currency, which is what we have, it is mathematically impossible to pay off the debt. And with this new bailout or stimulus package that is being created for us by Brother Obama, it is just the height of insanity to think that we're going to be able to come out of this doldrums, of this depression, by creating more debt. You can't come out of something by creating more debt, which is exactly what we're doing. And the figures that I have right now, not from some new age guy or from some hardcore, wild person, but from CNBC, is that the stimulus package, this bailout, is not $700 or $800 billion. It's $7.3 trillion. That's with the T. Now, remember, our gross national product this year is going to be about $10 trillion. And so what we're putting out is something that in adjusted terms, in adjusted inflation, is 2.5 times greater than all of the money spent on World War II. Now, dadgum, that's a whole lot of money. And we're just now getting into this. And the really, truly wild part about all of this is that over $3.5 trillion of the $7 trillion is from the Federal Reserve Board that is being issued to financial institutions without the jurisdiction or the vote of Congress. Without accounting, there is no transparency. Bernanke has refused to give the information. And this by itself, you know, this last week they're talking about an $800 billion stimulus program. And that's a heck of a lot of money. That is like twice as much in real terms as Louisiana Purchase. But what we're talking about is four times that amount that is being put into the hands of the financial institutions, the very, very folks who created the situation, without any jurisdiction, without any vote, and without any knowledge by the American citizens where this is going. This is your money. This is our money. This is our economy. And this is absolute criminal behavior.
George, Monday, and I want to get your take on this because it segues into what you were just discussing or dovetails. Bloomberg Financial, that I have a lot of respect for compared to any other publication. I mean, right. It's New World Order, but it's for real people in the system, so they tell the truth.
Right.
Most of the time. But it said the headline was $9.7 trillion so far in banker bailout. And then it showed the numbers that was over 90% of all mortgages at 2008 levels when they were worth more. Mm-hmm. So they made us think this was all about bailing out mortgages. But when they passed the banker bailout bill on October 3rd, 2008, the next day on Saturday, Paulson said, we're not even going to use it for that now. Because that's not what it's for. So they've already generated enough money to them, and they say it's secret where it went, to pay off 90%+ of the mortgages in the nation. So it's a complete fraud. So comment on that, and then they won't say where the money's going. Where do you think it's going? I mean, they have some leaks that they're buying up infrastructure, yeah, Massing the cash, but...
Well, the very first monies went to J.P. Morgan, and I cannot prove this, but J.P. Morgan is very connected with the metals trade, and especially with silver. And about 4.5 months ago, silver was selling for $18.70, and within about 2 weeks, it went down to $11 and then down to $8.70. Now, at the very, very same period of time, over 60% of the silver that is traded in this country is over the counter in the small gun shops and in the trading areas. And suddenly, all of the silver disappeared. And it's still very, very difficult to buy or find silver bullion. Now, in a free market society, if the silver disappears, or if it goes away, or if it's difficult, the price of the product or the commodity should go up and up and up. And yet, the price went down by over 55%. Now, quite clearly, that is manipulation. And because silver is a relatively small market, it is easy to manipulate. And, you know, and all the figures that we're talking about don't even include the hundreds of billions, if not several, you know, $1 to $2 trillion that has been put into the plunge protection team in the last year and a half. And yesterday, the market was down about 300 points. In the last half hour, the market went up 200 points. And quite clearly, it went straight up. Markets don't go straight up. And that was clearly the auspices of the plunge protection team. Now, the problem, and again, we're supposed to have a free country. We're supposed to have a free country. And the accounting of the monies is the foundation or the basis of what's going on. And if you can't account for the money, and whether the number is $7 trillion or whether it's $9 trillion or whether it's $12 or $15 trillion, we don't know. But just when I was a city council member, I always thought it was kind of interesting because when we'd have a project that would go for a couple $100,000 or $500,000, there'd be debate for hours and hours about where it would go. But when the projects would get up to $15, $20 million, that was a number that was too big for a lot of people to understand. And they'd just go, you know, what do you think? Just pass it, you know, go ahead. And now, instead of talking about hundreds of thousands or millions or even billions now, is that what we're talking about is trillions.
Got a break. Yeah. Come back with George Humphrey. I'm Alex Jones. This is Genesis Communications Radio Network. Still be time to turn this around, but it's up to you, ladies and gentlemen. What are you going to do?
We still have time.
But I know this, letting the same bankers that have robbed the daylights out of us and are engineering this society into hell aren't going to fix anything. Because they're doing what they want to do. To them, it is working just fine. George Humphrey, my guest in studio. George, let's continue with the economic line you were going down with we're now from the millions to the billions to the trillions to the quadrillions. Quadrillions.
And actually, that word, quadrillions, first came up about 8 or 9 months ago when we were talking about the number of derivatives that are out in the system. A quadrillion. I mean, these are numbers that people can't even understand. $1 trillion, just to put it in perspective, the day that Jesus or Yeshua was born, if you had a big kitty and put $1,000 in the kitty every single day, for every day of his life, through the time of the disciples, through the time of Rome, through the Dark Ages, into the Renaissance, into the discovery of the West, into the colonization, into right now, $1,000 a day for the last 2,000 years, the total amount would be $670 billion. Not even $1 trillion. That's how much money we're talking about.
And a quadrillion is $1,000 trillion.
$1,000 trillion.
And they're not talking about, I mean, we would have financial guests on a year or two ago saying it's up to 1.5 quadrillion. And then now we're seeing in mainstream news that the total derivatives may be two quadrillion. They're now using that term.
And we don't know. I mean, the point is anybody who says that they do know, you know, is blowing smoke, because we don't know, because that information. But whether it is 50 trillion or 100 trillion or 500 trillion or a quadrillion, it doesn't make any difference. You know, the bomb has already killed the patient. It's all gone. The system is broke. And until we go back to constitutional money, until we eliminate the Federal Reserve Board, until we have a hard currency, the situation is going to get worse and worse and worse. And about 8 or 9 years ago, when the Asian countries went down, is the United States went in there and they said, you've got to get rid of all of your toxic debts. And they kicked and screamed and they kicked and screamed, but they finally got rid of their toxic debts. They had 2 or 3 years, and now the countries like Thailand and in Vietnam and Indonesia are coming back up, and they're coming stronger because they got rid of their toxic debts. Now, 20 years ago, when Japan went down, they didn't get rid of their toxic debts, and they've had 20 years of recession. Right now, we're just feeding all this money, bad, you know, good money after bad, into these financial situations, and there is no way to stop the bleeding. There is no way to stop the bleeding. And unless we cut out the toxic debts, unless we take our medicine, unless we go back to constitutional money, it's just not going to happen. Unless we invest in productivity, unless we invest in sustainability, unless we invest in our people, it's not going to happen. And these are the choices that Alex is putting out to all of us. And now we have to become aware of it through this information war, and then share this information with our friends and families and change the paradigm.
Now, George, when you look at what the globalists have done, they want us dependent. They want us domesticated. They want us institutionalized. And they say in their own documents, that's why they paid for decades for companies to leave the United States, tax incentives. Yep. That's why they did everything they could. And now you look at their stimulus, it's only to expand their power and control and accelerate the debt while telling us on the news it's our fault we did it. And it is our fault in that we let the globalists carry this out. But that's like a kid who's 5 years old and didn't listen to mom and gets tricked into the back of a van and gets raped and tortured to death. Still, you don't blame the 5-year-old. You blame the guy that kidnapped the child. And the kidnapper is the bankers.
Oh, there's no question about it. And it's just not the bankers in New York. This has been an international cabal instituted by Adam Weishaupt and the Rothschilds back in 1776. And again, this is not conspiracy theory. This is just plain fact They instituted, you know, the brains of Rothschild is to institute fiat currency. And he took over the Banque Nationale de Paris. He took over the Bank of England. He took over the Bank of Italy. They've taken over the Citi. They've taken over Chase. And they've taken over the full economic supply system, the IMF, the
World Bank. Stay there. Let's recap that and then get into Obama.
Yeah.
The ultimate Trojan horse, groomed from birth. The evidence is clear. His mother, a foundation minion of Geithner's father, and now he is here to betray. Prepare yourselves. Thank you for joining us. Now think of our few of our sponsors, and then go right back to George Humphrey, right here in studio with us today. Okay, I want to again just tell you about a few of the sponsors that make this transmission possible. One of them is MySolarBackup.com. A lot of things can cut off your electrical power: hurricanes, snow, ice, storms. Listeners should move towards getting off the grid, and here's a good way to do just that. A solar power generator is now available from our longtime sponsor, Solutions from Science. It's designed to provide 1,800 watts of power on demand in the event of any disaster or outage. You get an emergency power backup kit, which consists of the Power Source 1800 power plant and high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. Remember, too, that gas generators need gas, but in blackouts, gas pumps can't pump gas because they run on electricity. The solar generator is like having a silent power plant hidden in your home. It's the perfect emergency backup for troubled times. Check them out at MySolarBackup.com or the banner up on InfoWars.com. That's MySolarBackup.com or 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365. Another one of our fine sponsors that I want folks to check out is SurvivalistSeeds.com. Grow your own healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound and break free from the New World Order. This family business buys in massive bucks and passes those huge discounts on to our listeners. 15,000 heirloom seeds will provide you and your family with healthy food for 7 years. Stop buying and eating New World Order food. Grow for your own family in your backyard. 15,000 heirloom seeds. That's real food insurance for the difficult times that we're already entering. Heirloom seeds are from the original varieties, non-GMO, non-hybrid. All their seeds date back over a century. Their Mayflower bean came over on the Mayflower ship. Now SurvivalistSeeds.com wants you to become one of their heirloom seed farmers and sell them back the seeds you've saved year after year, because demand is skyrocketing for the rare heirloom seeds. You also get a DVD teaching you how to sell your vegetable produce to restaurants, delis, and farmers markets. Slaves hesitate, patriots take action. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And again, it's the sponsors that allow us to continue to operate, and I believe in all the sponsors I endorse here. So SurvivalistSeeds.com. Okay, George.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to your sponsors, because those companies...
I have solar on my house. It provides about 30% of my power. And everybody has to be aware. You got to start planting your victory gardens right now. If food is going to be the massive roadblock.
And while you're out there planting it and enjoying it, you're meant to dig in the dirt and see earthworms.
Absolutely.
Your children just love it. They don't want to watch TV. Give them a chance. And then while you're planting and doing this, you'll get spiritually centered and think about how you're fighting the New World Order. And it's the journey of 1,000 miles starts with that single step.
Yeah, in a very small space, if you do it right, you can grow a tremendous amount of food. So just think about it. Get some solar. Get a car that gets at least 30 miles a gallon. Get a victory garden. Start becoming sustainable right now.
And that's real sustainable, not their counterfeit sustainable,
right.
Which they mean control. Now, George, let's get into Obama. I mean, if you were standing before a group of well-meaning Obama people that knew Bush was bad and evil, the torture, the secret arrest, the wars, and then the media craftily, the same media that put him in power, transmuted all the hatred of Bush onto love of Obama, yeah. And then now he's completely already just a month in office, betrayed all that, lay out as if you're speaking to a lot of them, but directly to them. They're watching this online. They're listening to this on the radio. They're seeing this a month from now when he's done even more horrible things versus the rhetoric. They have the phony right wing attacking to make the left defend him. They have all these tricks. Right. But breakdown as an economist, as a former city council member, as an author, a researcher, what you see happening with Obama.
Well, this is not a theoretical discussion because I had this discussion just a couple of days ago with some very, very dear friends of mine. Very well educated. They love this country. They're learning about things. They were very, and they come from very highly educated families and they've done a lot of things. And they were so opposed to what Bush was doing that they see Obama. Quite clearly, Brother Obama is one of the most articulate, intelligent and charismatic figures ever to come in front of the American people. And I applaud the leaders, the Illuminati or the power leader, whatever you want to call these rascals, for creating this character. I mean, he is the perfect opposition to Bush, who is, clearly not the sharpest tool in the shed. And this Obama, man, I want to like him. I want to like him. But you know what? A tree is judged by its fruit. A tree is judged by its fruit. And brother, in telling the truth, to me, is step number one. And Obama, when he first came out, he got a lot of support from the left wing because he was supposedly opposed to the wars in the Middle East. He voted against the war in Iraq. He's talked about Afghanistan. He said we were going to get out of the Middle East. We're going to be out of Iraq and Afghanistan. He talked to us about change and transparency, something that we all want. He said that he would do something. He would work for the environment. He said that he would work to clean up this financial disaster. He would work to help us get better education and health care for the people of this country. Now, the son of a gun went, knowing everything that I knew, and I knew where his money was coming from, but I listened and I listened and I listened. But within 1 month, he is absolutely, completely betrayed, 100% betrayed the American people. And quite clearly, Brother Obama is the most fancy, the most decorated, the most expensive Trojan horse in the history of Western culture. This guy's amazing. So let's just take a look at his appointments, because you can always tell a person by the company he surrounds himself with. He said he was going to get us out of the war in Iraq. Well, he reappointed Bill Gates, one of the architects of the war, a guy who's a member of the CFR and a Bilderberger, and the guy who is a hardline hawk. He's already broken his promise about getting the troops out of Iraq, and he is for more war and sending more troops to Afghanistan. He is for putting nuclear weapons in Poland and the Ukraine and Georgia, aimed at Russia. Now, this is a part of the puzzle that's never talked about. And I'm not pro-Russian, but I can understand why the Russians have a burr under their saddle, because if the Russians were pointing nuclear weapons at us, we would be very upset. And Obama is supporting putting short-term, intermediate-range nuclear missiles pointed at Moscow in the Ukraine, in Poland, and in Georgia. This is an act of war, my friends, and this man is not a man of peace. His director, his Justice Department man, Eric Holder. Now, the Second Amendment was put number two very, very clearly by our founding fathers because they wanted us to be free. And the Second Amendment is about us, we, the citizens of this country, defending themselves. Eric Holder is on record saying that the Second Amendment was only intended for the military. Obama clearly is first going to go after the ammunition, and then he's going to go after the weapons. And these weapons are what keeps us free. I am, you know, my mentor, my biggest, the person I read more about than anybody else is Mahatma Gandhi. I go to India every year. I believe in Satyagraha. And even Gandhi said, it is better to join the army and die fighting for your country than to be a coward. And I don't think that we don't want to go into violence right now. That would play in the hands of the power elite. But we can't lie down to this. We cannot allow this to happen.
It's the willingness to fight back that keeps the enemy from going for the full move. Because they Absolutely. Know there's a large contingent of people, I would say at least 10 million, who are ready to go.
And what's really beautiful is that in the gun stores all across the country, gun sales are up between 75 to 150% in the last 3 months. People of this country, good people of this country, people who are not violent, people who believe in the republic, people who believe in the rule of law, realize that they need to arm themselves. And so, you know, again, none of us are advocating violence. What we are advocating is the protection of our Bill of Rights, the protection of our republic, the protection of the rule of law, and the protection of our families and our culture.
Well, George, they're building FEMA camps. They are militarizing the police. They are building an army against us, and we have to defend ourselves.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, and the reason that we're on radio and television and writing books right now is so it doesn't come to that. And if you, if your friends, if your family, if your acquaintances, if the people in the grocery stores become aware of this and stand up and say no, it doesn't have to come to this. The choice is right now. Either we can stand up and protect this country right now, or it's going to come to this, come to a situation that is very unpleasant. And then we go into his appointment, Secretary of Treasury. This guy is just amazing. His name is Timothy Geithner. And this guy is a true work of art. He was the head of the Federal Reserve in New York, which is the most powerful of the branch banks. He worked at the Treasury. He is close with Paulson, who, in my mind, is an economic Nazi. He worked at the IMF, but he was also not just a member of, but a paid employee of the Council on Foreign Relations. You talk about, you know, saying the fox has been hired to guard the hen house is such a lame analogy. We're talking about the criminals who created this situation, Paulson, Geithner, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Citibank, Chase, the whole group of them, with the epicenter at Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, who created the structured investment vehicles, who created these toxic waste, who created these derivatives, who made millions and billions, in some cases trillions on the way up, looting the American treasuries, looting the value of this country, are now making even more on the way down. And this guy, the fact that there is not more outrage about this is just amazing. Number four, Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State. And I remember 15, 16 years ago, I was writing a book about called Common Sense, and one of the chapters was about the Clintons. And I went up to Arkansas, and you know, I'd heard a lot of rumors about what the Clintons had done in Mena, Arkansas, and I know that that Alex has talked about Mena, Arkansas hundreds of times here, and I just didn't believe that the shenanigans, because it's not shenanigans, it's cold-blooded murder.
A lot of it's on record.
Yeah, it's absolutely on record, is that there are 90, and you can look this up on the web, there are 93 people back in the 80s, in the 90s, in the 90s, who were all in their teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s, who all died violent deaths, and their only common denominator was their connection with Clintons. Now, the potential for this not to be connected is 4.5 billion to 1. And Hillary Clinton, yeah, she's very intelligent. She's hardworking.
Yeah, but how has this changed? He promised change. He brought in all the old Bush and Clinton guard.
Yeah, he promised no lobbyist. He promised change. Every single one of his appointments, the only change is a change in the names. They're all members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Most of them are members of the Bilderberg. They are all the status quo from the 1990s. And folks, if you can't see this, no matter how handsome he is, no matter how sweetly he speaks, no matter how much good rock and roll music there is, and I would have loved to gone to the inauguration because I love Shakira and I love Bruce Springsteen and I love all that stuff, but it's just stuff. Words and actions are what's are important. Then we go down to Homeland Security, and you know Janet, what's her last name?
Napolitano.
She's
another lobbyist.
Another lobbyist.
He doesn't appoint anyone that isn't a lobbyist, and it's like 20, 30, 40 people deep in the command structure of every. I mean, this is the lobbyist administration.
Yes, and then you have the head of the CIA, Lou Panetta. Leon Panetta, the hack.
He is the biggest, and he's rated as the biggest Wall Street lobbyist in the world.
Yeah, I mean. You know, what the heck is this guy doing, head of the CIA? But the CIA and the Pentagon and the Treasury and the IMF are all one organization. These folks are the power elite mafia. Democrat, Republican, they're all mafia up there. If you can't look at Joe Biden and see that he's a mafia don, then you're not paying attention. Now, the one appointment that gets under my skin perhaps more than anybody else, is the fellow who walks around at his right-hand hip 24/7. The guy who is in his room at 6 in the morning and who stays with him until 11 o'clock at night.
Rahm Emanuel.
Folks, if you don't know about Brother Rahm Emanuel, he's brilliant. He went to New Trier High School up in North Chicago. He's absolutely a brilliant guy. He's a hard worker. He knows the political ranks. His father was an assassin before Israel was a country. He would kill British envoys, not just Palestinians. He wouldn't just kill Palestinians. He would kill Brits. And not that one is more valuable, you know, a Brit is not more valuable.
Well, he was one of the heads of the Ergon terror group.
Absolutely he is. Most of Rahm Emanuel's family has dual citizenship with Israel. He is the political Zionist. And a lot of people don't know what political Zionism is. It's not about anti-Semitism. It's not about being Jewish. It's not about anything like that. It is a group of people who believe that they are the chosen ones and who have this false persona and who have absolute total control of the IMF, the World Bank, the Federal Reserve, and what's going on. Rahm Emanuel right now wants to nuke Iran, not just the military bases. He wants to nuke Tehran.
And he wants compulsory national service on record for us to be government slaves. Stay there. Final segment, George.
Okay.
Then we're going to interview you after the show for the film and probably use some of this for the film so we can get to go back over all this again as we get off and more. But to try to go through all, you've got the Deputy Secretary of Defense was the top Raytheon lobbyist. He's continuing the torture, blocked the British from stopping it.
Yep.
He just lies about everything. You got one life. Are you going to be slaves or are you going to fight tyranny? Are you going to live up a little bit to your ancestors' standard? Or are you going to be way down below it? Yeah, we're taking fight. We're never going to give it up. We're standing tall. We're getting up there in the catapult. Ha ha.
Yeah, Alex, you are so cool.
Hey, man, you got to get fired up.
You do, man.
It's exciting fighting this tyranny.
You know,
being alive.
This is where the action is. Where else, what other thing can you talk about except about freedom, the protection of your country, the protection of your family, the stopping of these pirates? And then you make all these great new friends, and then it opens you up to all sorts of different concepts. And that this is what's called the First Awakening, the awareness that the whole political and economic structure is totally manipulated and that there are pirates in control of the ship. And then, so we learn about ways to deal with this, and then is the spiritual aspect of this, because quite clearly, they've got more guns, they've got more money, they've got more soldiers. Now, we're
but
growing.
But they admit 90% of the fight is the mind. If we just simply refuse to get outside the box, and folks, you don't have to defeat the whole New World Order yourself in 10 seconds. It's deciding you're not with it. It's a spiritual decision.
Absolutely. It is a spiritual, psychological, mental decision. It is the law of intention. And if each one of us become aware of our own power and the fact that God does not make junk. God doesn't make junk. Yeshua, Jesus, talked about taking control. He said, you'll do greater miracles than I will. Be people of peace, but be strong. And be aware that through the law of intention, the law of creation, the law of allowance, and the law of harmony, is that we can create whatever type of world we want. Now, quite clearly, the wizards of the Illuminati, who are very, very advanced people, know about these universal laws, and they have been manipulating us through our food, through the chemtrails, through our education, through our media, to make us feel that we are victims, to make us feel that we are weak.
To make us feel weak.
Yes.
But if you know you're under attack, you can actually use that attack to make yourself even stronger.
Well, that's the first thing, is to get some power in your heart, to bring up that fire, but to also understand that this is going to be more like to win. And I'm here to win this thing,
jiu-jitsu,
not to be a martyr. But you know, if we go head to head with them right now, they're pretty tough. But it's like an Aikido match, and we're going to use their power, just like Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali did the rope-a-dope against Foreman. We let them use their power and for them to dissipate their power. 9/11, as horrible and as tragic as it was
a failure for the enemy.
Was a total failure for them. And it allowed us, people like you and I and many others, to get the message out. And at first, we were derided. People would laugh at us.
But we were willing to commit. You know, I lost most of my affiliates when I did that. And we built them back up. Now that I'm bashing Obama, some affiliates are dropping.
Yeah.
I could care less. It's about the truth and never compromising and knowing that we'll reach even more down the road when it's proven that we were right. George Humphrey, we're going to do an interview here now after the show. I want to thank you for joining us. We had two state reps on today from New Hampshire. Very powerful. We had Bob Chapman on. I covered this amazing, is FEMA and DHS preparing for mass graves and martial law near Chicago? I covered that at the bottom of the next hour. And at the start, I got into how they're coming into everybody's houses in Austin and businesses and putting in remote control thermostats. You got to say no to them coming in your house and doing this, folks. They got the same thing in California. So that's coming up in the retransmission right now at OnePlace, InfoWars.com. See you back this Sunday with guests on the Chicago camps, 4 to 6 p.m. George, thank you.
Hey, brother.
That's it. Transmission starts now.